you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
So right now, I'm standing in the gayest place on earth.
I guess so.
In Iran, we don't have homosexuals like in your country. We don't have that in our country. In Iran, we do not have this phenomenon. I don't know who's told you that we have it.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
Gay.
Talk about being gay.
Frankly, I think, you know, it comes off a little gay.
You're gay. And now, Cut, Print, Gay, our feature presentation.
Let go!
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So Kobe might as well have just been the Pope on Saturday night. I mean, I've never seen anybody like that before. He is obviously one of the best players in the league, but
yeah,
they were playing him such good defense, and they were all over him, and he was making shot after shot after shot. They just must have gone, all right, we're out.
At some point, you go, there's nothing we can do.
We can't do a thing about this.
Is that something?
He's not always that on, but man, when he's on like that, there's just no beating him. There's just no beating them.
Yeah.
So 3-1. That worked out all right. That worked out well. How are your Dodgers doing, Mike?
Dodgers are doing well.
Yeah.
Dodgers are doing well. I mean, they are not a good pitching team. But 1 through 9.
Isn't that what you need, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Turns out that's very important.
Is that important?
So this is going to catch up, is the problem?
This is not typical of Dodger teams. They're putting a lot of runs on the board, and they're winning games that way. So, you know, look, as long as they're winning, I don't mind. But they're going to have to do something because, as the, you know, the cliche goes, baseball is a marathon, not a sprint. So they're going to have to do something to figure out how they're going to sew up that pitching problem. But for now, I'm happy.
I got to tell you, I was watching SportsCenter, and I saw the Yankees-Boston Red Sox score.
Yeah.
I was like 200 to 150.
Yeah.
What kind of – really? I was – ridiculous. It was like 20, literally like 24, 25 runs scored.
Oh my God.
The Yankees really worked hard in the offseason to make sure that they got a really solid pitching lineup.
How's that working
out
for them?
They are throwing like little leaguers. It's just, I mean, bombs after bombs they're giving up.
Just, you know, grand slam home runs and then another home run, then another home run, and then a home run, and then another home run.
I'm sorry that you didn't see that because you would enjoy that.
I actually would with that kind of scoring, but man, oh man, that seems bad.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like what you want. We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. We can do sports or we can do anything else. And then we'll tell you about today's Kevin and B show.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
And just for calling,
yes.
1-800-520-1067 and getting on the air, we are going to give you a pair of tickets to the Cinco de Mayo and Lucha Vavoom. On Cinco de Mayo at the Mayan Theater. I don't know if you have seen this. I have in person. It is awesome. You drink. They get in the ring. There's people dressed in chicken outfits. There's midgets. There's strippers. It is one of the best nights of your life.
And on Cinco de Mayo would be Cinco de Mayo, so that's going to...
Sure, on that day
why,
as well.
Cinco de Mayo.
Uh-huh.
It would be the best day of all to go.
Oh, that's so good. So that's what you get for calling 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Jen in Riverside. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Good morning, baby
too. Oh, good morning.
Hi.
What's going on, Jen?
Well, the Angel game yesterday, finally, we decided to beat Seattle Mariners. It was awesome. It was great.
Now, how are the Angels doing so far this year? Because I'm not a big baseball fan.
It was interesting to watch Weaver. He came out. He was 1-1 at the beginning of the game, and he won it. And it was 8-0, so that was awesome. And they kept him in there, over 100 pitchers. So it was a good game. It was a good, solid game. The outfield, there was a home run. by Rivera. It was good, and there was no fight. So, you know, that's awesome.
No fights.
Are you sure you were at the right game?
Or did you go to the Angel game? Right game.
Yeah, I was definitely at the right game. It was very exciting to watch, though. It was a good game.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Adrian in Los Angeles. Good morning, Adrian.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Hey, what's up with the Raiders again? Not picking up a great pick in the draft. They went with Bay. We could have Michael Crabtree. What's up with that?
I don't know what's up with that. I really
I'm tired of being a Raider fan, guys.
I don't doubt it. It's tough to be a Raider fan. I've not been ever been a fan of Al Davis ever.
You know, I have a Raider tattoo on my arm, and I'm about ready to cover it up.
Wow.
Really am.
Wow, interesting.
I've been a Raider fan for over 20 years, and I'm getting tired of it.
Well, there's a whole different thing there's a big difference between a team that does the best they can and loses.
Right.
And a team that you get the feeling isn't doing the best they can.
You guys remember last year with Al Davis when he had that interview when he fired Lane Kiffin?
Yeah.
When he had a 30-second pause where he didn't know where he was at?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He needs to go already. He needs to retire.
Yeah. I'm concerned with winning football games. That's what I want to do. I want to win football games, goddammit. That's what he was thinking. Sure doesn't seem like it.
Apparently not. Yeah. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Mike in Orange. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, guys. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hi, Mike.
You guys see the NASCAR race yesterday?
Did not.
Carl Edwards wrecked coming through the trial, put it in the fence. He put it in the fence, threw a lot of debris into the crowd, and then got out of his car and jogged across the finish line just like Ricky Bobby did.
What?
Really?
It was awesome, yeah.
Where did the car go? It went up into the fence between the track and the crowd?
It caught the catch fence right above the wall.
Wow, that seems bad.
Yeah, was anyone hurt? Like in the crowd with debris?
They said there was a couple of injuries, but I don't think they were serious. Now,
that's
exciting.
It just looked freaking awesome.
He got out and ran across the fence.
That's funny.
That's the best.
I didn't think anyone would ever do that for real. Let's go to Steve in Pasadena. Good morning, Steve.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Steve?
Hey, I'm kicking back on Saturday drinking with my buddies. And all of a sudden, we look up in the air, and we see, you know, the plane riding when they ride in the air?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it says, Spencer loves Heidi.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Isn't that sweet?
I found it the most hilarious thing in the world.
Yeah. That's nice.
The worst part was, it was, like, sponsored.
What are you talking about?
Of course it was. Honestly, the whole wedding
It said, like Spencer, Heidi, or something. And then at the end, it said, text 5859 to this number to get, you know, your kick-ass ringtones or something. It was really crazy.
I've never heard of Skywriting being sponsored. That's the strangest thing I've ever heard. Huh. Let's go to Kat in Los Angeles. Good morning, Kat.
Hey, you guys. I was on last week, and I was telling you guys about my first day at the job of stripping.
That's a stripper.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Hi. So I just want to let you guys know the fact that it went pretty well. $35 on my first day, so it was okay. I mean, like, I worked from 12 to 5 yesterday, and it was a pretty good deal, you know?
So you're a fan?
I think I'll continue on with the profession for a while.
All right.
So were you nervous? I mean, how was it getting up there and getting naked?
It wasn't too bad because, I mean, I had to audition, and I did one amateur night before, so I wasn't so nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But I just have to learn how to make everything look good and, you know, make it kind of look sexy. I guess that's the word.
Sure,
that
yeah, I guess.
The word.
I guess that's the word, sure.
Mm-hmm. But I wanted to thank you guys so much for being so supportive. It was such a slow day. And I mean, like, it was really slow. And I'm just hoping that next week we actually get, like, people in the thing.
Yeah, that would help.
Yeah, because you said $35.
Yeah.
Yeah, for 5 hours. That's slow.
Yeah, just a little.
$7 an hour is not that bad.
Really?
I'll strip for that. Let's go to Jessica in Sylmar. Good morning, Jessica.
What it do?
What it do?
What it do?
So last week you guys talked about a girl wearing a cami to use her boobs.
Yes, we were talking about Miss Cleo, who works here, who has gigantic knockers and has no idea how to have them work for her.
Right.
Well, I took your guys' advice, and I didn't really use it against the ticket. I went to the mall, and the guy was like, dude, here, have a discount on your stuff because you totally have some huge boobs.
Nice.
Really? And
did you do something different than normal?
Yeah, I wore a green cami that I normally don't wear.
All right.
So
see?
It works.
Yes, it does.
All right, there. We just wanted you to get the most. That's all. We're concerned about you and what you get deal wise at the mall. So you did the right thing, and I think you should continue doing it.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, thank you for calling. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. First of all, we're all going to get the swine flu. First of
clearly,
all,
clearly we are all going to die.
Swine flu is an epidemic, and we will all have it by the end of the day.
I'm pretty sure.
So that's point one.
Okay.
Point two is Matt Money Smith will be here. He's former sports guy for the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Talking, I'm sorry, for the Kevin and Bean Show. Now he works with the Lakers, and we'll be talking about that. Plus, he's written or put together some kind of a book.
I don't think he actually wrote a book.
Yeah, this is shaky at best.
You know.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he kind of...
He had help,
he
right?
He put a book together. It's not really the same as writing a book. Let's not give him too much credit.
No, there definitely not.
There is a book, and on the cover is a picture of the authors, and one of them is Matt.
That's correct.
That's the craziest thing.
That's wrong, nutty. No matter how it happened.
That is nutty. Psycho Mike and the King of Mexico went and hung out at the Fantasy Factory, Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory.
I can't wait to hear about this.
With the Nitro Circus guys.
Yep.
Which is nutty. So we're going to talk to them just after 6 about that. We got Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We have Aziz Ansari, who's going to be in the studio.
From Parks and Recreation.
From Parks and Rec, yeah. He was the super funny Indian guy from Scrubs.
Yes.
Love him. And we're going to do the grand prize drawing today, Green Day Anywhere in America.
Cool.
We're going to pick somebody and we're going to let them pick where they would like to see Green Day. So that's all coming up. Ralph has the showbiz beat and we will do that. And it's time for Ralph's showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
You're an asshole.
Hey. Of course, 24/7 over the weekend?
I didn't. I recorded
what's wrong
it.
With you?
Well, I recorded it, and then when I watched it back, it was just a bunch of random stuff on HBO. It wasn't the show.
This is happening quite often for you, Kevin. You were having.
I'm pretty good at TiVo stuff.
Are you? This is the second time you couldn't say, "Oh, I recorded the Gumby special instead of the MMA fight."
It said it was 24/7, Pat. Yeah, that's what it said.
I did the same thing. Boom! Watched
there it. Was,
it. There it was on my DVR.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might need some remedial classes. You might need to go back.
A refresher course.
Yeah. Back to
many channels.
TiVo Kindergarten or
when's
whatever.
When's that fight? Is
there.
It this weekend?
It is Saturday.
Oh, it's so good.
Saturday, May 2nd. Pacquiao Hatton. Can't wait. But it was a very good 24/7 this weekend. They did not mention Psycho Mike, though. I was hoping.
Yeah.
You know, some guy was making fun of me, and I want to kick his ass, and I'm going to bring him into the gym and beat him up. But Freddie didn't say that, unfortunately. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Inexplicably, Obsessed was number one with $28.5 million.
Whoa!
That's a shocker, isn't it?
This was the movie we're all making fun of, saying this looks like a direct-to-video release that somehow snuck into theaters.
Well, it doesn't make it good that
no,
it made that kind of money.
But I'm surprised people were so compelled to go.
Maybe it's Beyonce.
Could be.
Maybe.
It's pretty hot.
People wanted to put a ring on it.
Yep.
They did.
That's what they wanted to do.
It's true.
17 again did pretty well in its second weekend. $11.7 million made it number two. Fighting with Channing Tatum came in at number three. $11.4 million made it so. The Soloist was number four. I got two strings on my violin. Wow, it's crazy living in the streets. Earth was five. Monsters vs. Aliens was six. State of Play was seven. Hannah Montana, the movie, was eight. Fast and Furious and Crank High Voltage, rounding out your top 10. According to Variety newspaper. Speaking of movies, Terrence Howard is furious that the powers that be behind Iron Man 2 decided to fire him from his role as Iron Man's buddy and cast Don Cheadle instead.
I thought he threatened to quit, or wasn't there some story where they're having trouble with the deal? Or
no, apparently
they just moved on.
They decided to move on. I've heard he's crazy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Cheadle's great, by the
Cheadle
way,
is
in
great.
Everything.
This won't be a letdown at all, but Terrence thinks it was, in his quote, a very, very bad choice to replace him with Don Cheadle. Wow.
Because?
Sounds like a threat.
Because why?
You've made a bad choice. he says, but he's a big believer in karma and thinks everything right will return the favor.
Eh?
I don't even know what that means, but again, sounds like a threat. So if I was Jon Favreau, I would not start my own car. That's all I'm saying. Everybody got married this weekend. Everybody got married.
Everyone?
Everybody got married.
Huh.
Salma Hayek and her French billionaire husband, Francois-Henri Pinault, got married again this weekend.
Again? Why?
They first got married in Paris on Valentine's Day.
Sure.
Saturday, they got married in Venice, Italy, at the Venice Opera House in front of 150 friends. Here's the thing. When you're a billionaire, I guess you just fly around the world getting married on in famous locations. I guess that's what you do.
I guess, but the whole getting married thing seems like a hassle. Every time.
Yeah, it does. Let's just go travel.
You're
going
to go to Italy.
Here's the star-studded guest list. Penelope Cruz, Edward Norton, Woody Harrelson, Olivier Martinez, Luis Miguel, Ashley Judd, Charlize Theron, and her boyfriend, husband, Stuart Townsend, Bono, Gael Garcia Bernal, Enrique Murciano, David Blaine, Gigi Zhang.
Hey. I'm sorry, did you say David Blaine?
I did. And former French President Jacques Chirac.
Wow.
Who was seen sitting next to Jerry Lewis.
Really?
At the reception,
How about that?
Apparently they're good friends.
I hear that's true.
How do I know you are Jerry Lewis? Also married over the weekend, Heidi and Spencer.
Yeah.
As expected, 200 members of their closest friends and MTV film crew gathered to see them married at the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Pasadena, California. And apparently no one took my subtle hints to drive by that church and cause havoc.
Aww. You said not to, if I recall correctly.
I was winking while I did it.
Well, this is radio.
I know, it was a loud wink. I put my eye right up to the microphone. Couldn't anyone hear it? This Weekly magazine reports that the bride wore a custom gown worth about $19,000. And was wearing over $1 million worth of jewelry.
It's good to see someone like her that's really, really worked hard finally make it, you know? Wait.
Yeah, here's the thing, too. Remember how Lauren Conrad said she wasn't going? She was going to boycott the ceremony. She wasn't going?
Yeah.
Well, the biggest surprise of the event, Kevin, was when Lauren Conrad showed up. And MTV caught the whole thing on video.
Really?
Yeah.
What are the chances they were there?
They lucked out.
Wow, that is great.
Yeah. Oh, LC showed up.
Oh, that must have been a shocker.
Wow.
That's good news, huh?
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Not a fan.
More reality TV news regarding Heidi and Spencer. NBC has announced their lineup for I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. We talked about this show because former Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich was supposed to be on the show. But he's got some legal issues. And the judge said, maybe I shouldn't let you just go off to Costa Rica for fear you may not come back. The premise of the show is 10 celebrities are stranded in the jungle in Costa Rica. And then one by one, they get removed from the game. As I mentioned, former Governor Rob Blagojevich will not be participating, but NBC has announced the cast of the show that will air this summer. Here are your celebrities for I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Okay, so the name of it has celebrity
in
it.
Keep in mind, they are calling this I'm a Celebrity.
Okay.
And I think there may be a class action lawsuit in NBC's future from us, the viewing public, for them using the word celebrity. We need a definition. Someone needs to make an official definition.
That word does get thrown around pretty easily.
It certainly does, especially in this particular context. Heidi and Spencer. I'll give you a celebrity.
Yeah.
Talentless.
Yeah.
But celebrities nonetheless.
For no reason, but okay.
Best damn sports show, period, commentator John Sally. Former ball player John Sally.
Only because he was an NBA star for a while.
All right.
But older, like not a current celebrity.
And TV host and self-proclaimed first supermodel Janice Dickinson.
Yeah, she's a celebrity. She's a freak.
Yeah.
Former American Idol contestant Sanjaya Malakar.
Celebrity.
Sanjaya.
Sanjaya? Really? You're going to give me Sanjaya?
I know who Sanjaya is.
Don't you have to do more than one show? Don't you have to have more than one moment?
The soup kept him alive.
Is she weak sauce? Yes. But if Sanjaya walks into a restaurant and I'm eating there, everyone around is going to be like, dude, it's Sanjaya. That guy's a celebrity.
Well, you eat at bad restaurants.
That's true.
But that's the case.
You know it's true.
I think we just crossed the line.
Easy, Billy Manelli.
Yeah, exactly.
Stephen Baldwin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, tell me which Baldwin he is.
I don't know.
He's a celebrity?
Tell me which Baldwin he is.
Fat blonde one?
I don't know. I don't know. That's what I'm telling you. Tell me which one he is.
He's the Jesus freak.
Yeah. Okay.
The one that was on Celebrity Apprentice?
And he was best known probably for Usual Suspects. That was Steve.
Is that him? Want to play Barney Rubble in the Flintstones movie?
Yes.
All right. And WWE wrestler Tori Wilson.
No celebrity.
No.
Never heard of him.
No.
It's a girl.
Or her.
Her.
And she used to go under another name. She had a wrestling name like Sash or Flambe or something. She
was
like,
Flambe?
It was like China. You know, like Joni Lauer now used to be China.
Right.
She used to be Quiz.
Quiz is not a very good wrestling name.
Or something. She had a one named
name
thing, too. It's like, who was that? Rena Sable or Rona Sable, whatever. She was married to John Cena or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
She was just Sable.
Sable, right. Sable, yeah. But she has a real name, too, that she goes by now.
I think Tori Wilson was somebody.
Was she?
When she was done. I'm pretty
can't believe the phones aren't blowing up. I thought there'd be some WWE fans who would tell us who Tori Wilson was.
Ralph@KROQ.com.
She was Slap or something. She had one of those one-word names. Like
that's a good name, Slap.
Like the American Gladiators always had those one-word names. Though. Anyway, that's your lineup. That's your I'm a Celebrity, weak. Get Me Out of Here lineup.
You know, it's funny because usually that's the supporting cast, and they can pull one celebrity that's kind of big, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They kind of all are in a little smaller role, but there's someone that you care about.
And to think I mocked Celebrity Apprentice. I apologize, Donald Trump. That's an A-list compared to these people.
Yeah.
Stephen Baldwin and Tori Wilson. I hope they all get snake bitten in the jungles of Costa Rica. Get the swine flu. Here's what I've always said. Animals are no goddamn good.
Yeah.
Look, swine flu, bird flu, all these animals are giving us stuff.
Pigs hate us.
Monkeys gave us AIDS.
Monkeypox, sure.
Kill them all, that's what I say.
Kill all the animals?
Murder all the animals.
Well, that seems like a terrible suggestion.
All they do is get in the way on our planet. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think that's the case.
Whatever. F the ecosystem, that's what I say. Okay. Take them all out. Today's celebrity birthdays. You want the oldest? You've got the oldest. Ace Frehley from Kiss. He is 58 years old today.
He is not a good-looking 58 either.
No, he is not. But he wears the makeup, so who can tell?
He looks 88 in person without the makeup.
But he wears the makeup. That's the genius of that band.
He wears, like, the open vest.
Yeah, he shouldn't be doing that.
Saggy man boobs with disgusting white hair.
He shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, it's
not good. He should put on a turtleneck.
Yes,
he should. The makeup. Casey Kasem. Keep your feet on the ground. And keep reaching for the stars. He's 77 years old today. Kate Pearson of the B-52s is 61. Wow, it's the old edition of the celebrity birthdays today. Sheena Easton is 50. Still looking pretty good at 50.
Is she?
She's still rocking it at 50. Patrick Stump of Fall Out Boy is 25. And actor William Moseley of Chronicles of Narnia is 22 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to need the tables and the couches there by Monday. But I guess the bed can wait.
Bed? What are you talking about?
You can get my major furnishings, like I said, like the tables and stuff.
So we're on the air.
It's a moving company. I'm having them ship all my stuff to the Fantasy Factory.
Yeah.
Dave and I are moving in.
Yeah.
Really?
I'll call you back, U-Haul. Thanks.
Yeah. 608, Kevin Amici on the world famous K-Rock. You went to the Fantasy Factory.
Oh, yeah.
For a really long time, I heard.
Yeah, that was a long time.
For like hours, they couldn't get rid of you.
Well, Dave and I did feel bad because we were the guests that would never leave. But, you know, you don't get that opportunity a lot, so you might as well take advantage.
Yeah.
They'll never let you back.
We were those guys.
You should have told me that you were going to be those guys, because I'd like to be those guys.
Nope.com. The last thing we need.
Fantasy Factory.
They didn't invite you?
What?
The last thing we need is Kevin going, "It's nice to be here, Mr. Durden."
Good point.
Hello, Johnny Knoxville.
I don't know if you've seen the Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory on MTV and the Nitro Circus as well. Fantastic shows. Love. Watched every episode. I think I would enjoy the visit.
Yeah.
You would have.
So you go to the Fantasy Factory when? Thursday? Friday? What? How did this come up?
Thursday of last week.
Yeah. Thursday? Okay. You go there with what? With a video camera?
Yeah. It was weird in that, like, usually we have to go so far out of our way to try to, like, develop these cool videos, you know,
right,
for,
to
like,
line stuff up. And
this was out of the blue. The person who's, like, Rob's liaison to MTV, his publicist, I guess, is really cool. This girl named Sarah. And she called up Lightning out of the blue and she said, "How would you guys like to come down and bring a video and hang out during the wrap-up party of our Sunday night show?" So it was Nitro Circus, Bully Beatdown, Mayhem was there, Knoxville and Steve-O. Everybody came down and they were all there? Yeah.
All
and this big party out at the Fantasy Factory. They said, "You know, we need Dave the King of Mexico and Psycho Mike. That's who we need."
Right. And did they say, "And also Kevin"?
Nope.
They didn't say that?
I don't know. Maybe they said that. I really didn't give you that message is what I'm saying. I'm saying there was an open bar.
So the whole Nitro Circus was there?
I'm saying there was an open bar and we don't need you there.
And Taco Bell.
And Taco Bell catered.
Yeah.
That's catering.
That's what's awesome.
Wow. And do we have the video up or has that been edited yet?
No. Rob is so cool in that he, you know, most of these guys, this is his place.
Right.
And this, there was a big party going on.
Describe, for people who haven't seen Fantasy Factory.
The Fantasy Factory is Rob Dyrdek's office, essentially, in downtown L.A. That is, the best way to describe it is if you gave a 12, really imaginative 12-year-old kid a couple $1 million and some drugs, this is what he would design.
It said, make something fun.
Yeah. It really is. There's zip lines and foam pits and a bunch of motorcycle ramps and a full skate plaza, an entire skate plaza, yeah. A bunch of wacky cars. It really
did they have a gun that shoots tennis
balls? Did they have the American Gladiator tennis gun?
And he was breaking it out. He put the Nitro Circus guys in like white tights and drew a bullseye on their wieners and just started gaffling them with the tennis ball guns.
Yeah. I would have liked that.
Yep. It was a great, great day.
Did you think, at any point, did you think, wow, Kevin would like this? Anything like that? Or maybe he would be having fun with us?
I know, I don't speak for Dave, but I don't think I thought that.
Dave, did you think that?
Well, as I was getting my drinks, I was like, man, no, I wasn't.
You didn't think that at all? No. Wow, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Because that sounds fun and everything.
It was fun. It was weird. And Kevin, you've taken Dave and I to some of these parties where it's strange.
Yeah, that's why it's funny you wouldn't return the favor. That's okay.
When you walk into a room and you're the only person in there that's not a celebrity.
Right.
Like, it's one of those parties where you're like,
you're Knoxville.
I don't know if I feel comfortable here, you know. But it was a good time. And Lightning took a ton of video. And the reason, like I said, Rob is so cool.
So Lightning was there. So the three of you went.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Yeah. And by the way, now that it's over, we're not happy Lightning was there. Like, if we could take that back, we'd rather replace him with you with him.
Well,
yeah. Because he doesn't know personal boundaries. You know how Lightning is? He just doesn't get it. And he's a, you know, Mr. Steve-O probably, he probably doesn't want to do press today. He's, you know, he's recovering from a lot and he's got a lot going on and he'd rather not talk to you.
Right.
No, we're the Kevin and Bean show. It's different. Just tell him who it is. Tell him who it is and he'll talk to us.
We made him.
We made him.
No, really?
And I'm like, hey, you know, like, she works for MTV. Her job is to take care of the personalities on MTV. Maybe you should just say,
no, it's different, though. It's us.
What?
It's us.
Why would he do that?
He's Lightning.
Well, I know, but we've had Steve-O many times. We'll have him again.
On the loudspeaker.
If we could get all the press off the floor at the Fantasy Factory, we're going to start filming for today.
Hold on. We're in the middle of a shot. Hold on.
He's the best.
Oh, my God.
No. We can't have him go to things like that.
I know. He takes everything as one of those, like, embedded cameramen in war.
Right.
Because he's like, I got to get the shot no matter what, you know? People are pushing him.
Guy ziplining right down, I think it was Street Bike Tommy, ziplining right down the zip line and Lightning, like, right there trying to get kicked by him. That's how close he wanted to be.
Why is he bad? Why is Lightning bad? You guys can't take me, but you take Lightning.
Yeah. Look.
I knew Lightning had gone over the edge when it was at Omar's wedding. Yeah. And he was shouting directions at people. We were like, dude, this is their private wedding. What's wrong with you?
Bridesmaid, cheat left. You're in the shot.
Ever since we put him in charge of the, you know, the video for KROQ.com, he has lost his mind.
But he's determined and he cares about his job. And he definitely did get a lot of really, really kick-ass video at this party that you did not go to.
That I wasn't at?
Yeah.
Did he make people mad? Did Steve-O get upset?
I don't think so.
But
only because he's cool?
Yeah, and because I went out of my way to try to be as not intrusive as possible with what I was talking about because Lightning was being so overly intrusive.
Ask him about the drugs. Ask him about his life falling apart.
What's wrong with him?
I could
videotape just as well.
The same thing that makes Lightning bad is what makes him so good because he got a lot of great video that not a lot of other people would have the balls to get. It's true.
Yes, I believe that. But that's not the kind of thing we really want going on. Otherwise, none of us are going to get invited back.
He got a lot of great video.
And by none of us, I mean you guys aren't going to get invited.
He got a lot of great video, but he's burned a million bridges.
Exactly. So look at all the video on KROQ.com because that's all you're going to get, basically. Yep. It's time to talk to our old friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Harvey, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
How was your weekend?
It was really interesting.
Interesting?
What does that mean?
I went to Washington, D.C. this late last week.
Oh, you were digging up some more dirt on the politicians?
Well, you know, all I can say is there's somebody who killed a bear and he has the head in the office.
Really?
Really?
All I'm saying.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. You have a lot of stuff on the Casey Aldridge crash on your site.
This
is Jamie Lynn Spears' baby daddy?
Jimmy Lynn Spears' baby daddy, who got in a really bad car accident. He was actually ejected along with two other people. It happened really early yesterday morning, and the car basically flipped. And, you know, this is the biggest softball for you guys ever, but he suffered mild brain trauma. Okay, say it.
How could you tell?
Just fill in your own joke here.
But how did they go flying out? No seatbelts,
no
I guess?
No seatbelts, I'm sure.
Well, I mean...
Yeah.
That's a good point. I withdraw the question.
They don't have seatbelts on tractors.
You know what? It's so funny you say that, because that was literally the first thing I thought. I thought, wow, is he driving the tractor with all those people on it? But no, it was a truck. And what happened was he swerved off the side of the road into a ditch. He overcorrected to turn back on the pavement, and it caused the car to flip. Three people were ejected. So he ended up having a hairline fracture, or a fracture on his hairline, actually. Moderate injuries, did not have surgery. There's swelling in the brain, but he's going to be okay.
Wow.
And he was cited for careless operation of a motor vehicle. By the time they got to him, it was 4 hours after the incident, so they never really tested him for alcohol. And of course, there couldn't have been any of that, right?
Of course not. No.
No.
We're talking about Britney Spears, relatives and their friends.
So were the friends? How were they?
Well, one of them, I'm glad you asked. Let me just pull the website up. We worked on this all day yesterday.
Because I'm thinking, if they got really hurt, there might be a lawsuit.
Two guys went to the hospital. I'm just looking what we said here.
It looked to me from your coverage over the weekend like he got hurt worse than anyone.
It looks to me like he did too. I mean, two guys went to the hospital. One guy just suffered a lot of bruises. One guy, I think it was his collarbone. I'm just looking at the site. I've forgotten. It's on the site.
It's okay. We'll look it up.
Go to the site.
Yeah.
You have Mark Sanchez. You have a story on the draft.
Isn't that great?
How he went to the Jets. And how we always ask Harvey this. How do you have sources everywhere?
Well, it's funny you say that.
Because you have a picture of his actual boarding pass.
Funny you say that, because literally when I landed on Saturday, when I came back here, I looked and I said, God, my boarding pass is just sitting there, because I always put it in the seat pocket.
Right.
And then I thought to myself, I probably should tear this thing up, and I've never done it before.
Oh, that's funny.
And then the next day.
So that's how you got it, is he just left it behind?
I'm just saying you could connect the dots, but I'm not going to say anything.
Well, the story is he got drafted by the Jets, and they flew him and a bunch of his family out first class.
Oh, I see.
To New York.
$13,498 worth of first class.
Wow.
But the best part is, so he's got a sister and a nephew, business class and two coach tickets. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. And listen, you're going to have to pick somebody. We got to put someone in the back of the plane. So sorry about that, but you're going to have to draw straws.
That's funny.
Tell me about Heidi and Spencer. They got married, blah, 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 MTV, blah, 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 blah.
Okay, so my favorite part is finally, I've been able to use something from Hebrew school. So we get this picture of we get a picture of them obviously kissing at the wedding.
Right.
So I have two stories for you. This is one. And so we get a picture of them kissing at the wedding, and I'm looking at it, and it's exactly the same kiss with all of these million other pictures we have of them with these photo opportunities.
Right.
So there's an expression, part of a prayer actually, called the four questions that you do on Passover, and it's Manish Tana Halayla Hazeh, and that means, why is this night different from all the others? So I call the post a Heidi and Spencer Manish Tana Halayla Hazeh, and it was like, and then we just did a photo gallery and just showing the exact same kiss on every single event.
Really? So they just pretty much pose.
They totally pose, but I thought you'd be a little more impressed with my use of Hebrew.
That was impressive.
Yes,
but
definitely.
I don't have any way of double checking you, so we're gonna have
to. No, but here's my favorite part of it. So they sent a flyer around the Pasadena neighborhood where they got married last week, and they wanted to close some of the streets down,
right?
And they wanted to restrict the paparazzi, which would be a first, right?
Yeah, which is funny that they would even suggest they want that.
Well, why do you think they want that?
Well, we were talking about it last week.
So you'll want it more?
And I think Bean said so the MTV would get it exclusively.
That's right, because it's going to be more valuable because of the Hills. So they were shooting it for the Hills, but they didn't want to say that, obviously, on this flyer because you need to get all the neighbors signing up for it. And if it says we're shooting the Hills, they figured nobody would sign up for
it. Of course.
So they say it's for an untitled television show.
That goes by the name of the Hills?
No, but they wouldn't say it in the thing. But my favorite part of it is it said they needed to close down some streets and restrict paparazzi for the safety of the public.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because they're such a big deal.
And because they were shooting exterior and interior dialogue. Those are called wedding vows.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow. I don't believe anything that comes out of that camp, should I? I don't believe they're married.
No.
I don't believe they did it for
real.
No,
they're really married. We found out they got it. They got a marriage license in Beverly Hills.
They did
get the marriage, and they did get married.
Huh. All right, well. A very special episode of The Hills on the way.
Fun.
Harvey, I know you got to run. Anything else you're working on?
This Kate Walsh divorce. My God, you should read what we put up on the site. It's really, they've been married for 14 months, and he is dogging her. Oh, I got to go do a live shot.
Okay, thank you, Harvey.
Go read this story. This is the War of the Roses in Hollywood.
Oh, fantastic.
Kidding.
All right, Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. Thank you,
bye,
Channel 11,
bye.
6:30 on...
Down it all, I see.
106.7 K-Rock, nope. Doesn't need a hay. That one doesn't
perfect.
Need a hay.
Right there. It's where it belongs.
I don't think that song
big,
needs a hay.
Fat hay right there.
Kevin Amicho, 6:36.
Hey! Too late?
Too late. Yeah. You guys watch the showbiz TV shows?
Of course I do. Those are my colleagues.
I can't take
Boy,
them.
I can't take them either.
Those of us in the entertainment journalism world have to, look at each other's work.
How Access Hollywood, it, Entertainment Tonight.
Keep tabs on each other.
When did house music become how they need to present showbiz?
Everything.
Boom, 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 boom. When did that start? It's been for quite a while, hasn't it? That's their music of choice.
I think once Billy Bush came out of the closet, that's when they started using that gay dance music. Yeah.
My intimate wedding videos, never broadcast before until now.
Oh, sound effects too.
This is important stuff they're bringing.
Dog whisper infiltrating puppy mills.
They're contained. That's all. That's their life.
Captured on all new undercover video.
The return of the Triple F housewife.
The YouTube sensation told The Insider she'd welcome a...
What's that music?
New look, but producers are now reportedly frantic behind the scenes over the changes.
Okay, so that's a new look story. I think they are trying to distract you with the fact that these stories aren't stories.
That they don't really have anything?
They put sound effects and dance music.
This is The Insider you're playing currently, and we've talked about this for years. They have become the sideshow medical freak show.
Yeah, true.
Channel.
But they make it sound like it's the most important thing in the world.
Triple F housewife. She's got big boobs.
And then they do the very special music.
In our continuing reality show series, The Next Chapter.
And they bring the whole thing down. Now, this is a sell for the Triple M. And you go, what could be a downer about that?
Astounding story of the housewife who went from Triple F to Triple K to Triple M and is now about to give birth. But afraid she may not live to meet her unborn child.
There it is.
Wow.
Okay, that's why they turned it to a very, very sad music. Very, very sad. A very special Entertainment Tonight Access Hollywood.
At number four, Kate cosmetics free. Her hair pulled up, Hudson showing that when she's off set, she likes to go au natural.
Okay, now that is a story
that she doesn't wear makeup.
About a picture of her without makeup.
Yep.
That's what that whole story is about.
Oh my God.
Drink in hand. At number three, Vanessa foundation free. The High School Musical star on spring break, not even a little bit dolled up.
This shy and often lonely child here at the age of four with her teddy bear had one solace, her music.
Kristen was just quoted in GQ saying about you, the thing about Robert is...
Where do they get this music?
God knows.
Do you think it's like royalty free or whatever, so it doesn't cost them to use
it? I'm sure they got a guy with a Casio who just cranks it out for them.
DJ Omar Khan.
You just can't lie.
I think we need to change up your show business.
Jay was hospitalized overnight for precautionary measures, St. Joe.
Okay, this is Jay Leno goes to the hospital.
Right. Boom,
boom, boom, tells Access he was released today around 1 p.m.
Today, she debuted what looks to be a Burberry scarf in the U.K. as a vintage performance from 23 years ago was unearthed.
Okay, that can't possibly be a story.
I couldn't even hear it over the music.
Will Joan Rivers be holding hands and singing Kumbaya with her celeb apprentice co-workers this weekend?
I will
will never sunbathe like that again.
Kim Kardashian's talking about this severe burn she got while vacationing in Mexico.
Okay, so this is the severe burn music. It sounds like a circus.
Listen, all of these shows are pointless and empty-headed, so they have to put all the bells and whistles on them to make them the least bit palatable. If they didn't have anything under that and they said, we're going to do a story now about someone's sunburn, you would immediately turn off the television.
But you think that poomch-poomch makes people stay?
Absolutely. It's smoke and mirrors. It they don't even realize that they're not getting anything out of
the
story.
But we're not doing any of that with your showbiz. Well, maybe we're missing the boat. Maybe we need sound effects. We need beds. Dude, and
we've got this, though. We've got this sound effect.
And the beds.
Sometimes. We've got this sound effect.
And the music Come beds on. Need to change with every story. You got to go into another house song.
I don't know. I am in New York for the very first annual Heart of Green Awards, honoring those who are getting out the green message.
Yes, that's what they're there for.
Alicia Silverstone showed off her amazing skin and body, which she attributes to her vegan diet.
See what I mean? We need some kind of bed.
But she's a vegan.
We gotta step this up a
You're
notch.
Missing the story. You're paying too much attention to the music and missing the story.
All I
here.
Care about is the presentation.
She's a vegan. That's a story.
It's not a story.
She doesn't
though.
Eat meat.
Right, but that isn't a story.
And that's why she has such a great figure and nice skin.
They should send out a team of reporters to cover that 24/7.
In the world. We've been around the world together, me and the boys, so we're having fun.
The ultimate rock star goddess Gwen Stefani enters her fourth decade in October.
This is the
Gwen's having fun. That's the story.
That's the Gwen Stefani having fun story.
Wow.
I'm saying we need to step your showbiz up a bit. Because you're acting like I think we need new house music for each story. We need sound effects. We need stuff going on. We need stuff happening so that we can lull people into a false sense.
Right now, I have one sound effect.
Right.
That sometimes you'll let me play. Sometimes Mike will turn the machine on. Sometimes we'll get it potted up. Occasionally, that'll happen. You want to add more elements
to
it. Because
I think we need a lot more elements.
Because as it is, it runs so smoothly. You think we should add...
Hey.
All right. You say so?
Nope. Aziz Ansari coming up just after the top of the hour.
You're forgiven. Say, I'm sorry?
No, I didn't. Oh, Aziz Ansari.
My bad.
Actor. Matt Money Smith coming up a little bit later on. We're doing our Green Day Grand Prize. First, it's time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman.
When I say porn and Christina Ricci...
Wait, hold on. All right, go ahead.
When I say porn and Christina Ricci, you probably think, hey... That sounds good.
Right.
Well, don't get too excited. She is co-starring in a film.
You off, isn't it?
It is. It's very hard.
Because you kind of want to start to go with the beat.
Hard to talk about things with that music in the background. I don't know how Billy Bush does it.
Back to this for the time.
She is going to co-star in a movie called Born to be a Star, co-written by Adam Sandler. So, be forewarned. But apparently, she will play the girlfriend to a small-town nerd, played by Nick Swardson, who discovers that his parents were once wildly famous porn stars.
Oh.
And decides to follow in their X-rated footsteps. He decides he's going to be a porn star once he finds out his parents were porn stars. Sounds funny.
Yeah, it does.
Unfortunately, I don't think Christina Ricci will be playing a porn star in this film.
Nah. False advertising.
But she should be.
Wait, hang on. There you go. It's just been updated.
Who are you shooting at?
It's been just updated. It's a sound effect.
Why is it a shotgun?
Because it needs to stand
it's
out.
It's extreme!
People need to think something important's going on.
Yeah, well, not that we're murdering people.
It's like a, pretty strong, right?
It's like a camera on the end of a blunderbuss.
I don't even know what those words are.
Blunderbuss is like one of those old-fashioned elephant guns they would use in
All right.
Africa.
Good call.
Robert Rodriguez has been announced he will be the director to remake the Predators franchise.
Yeah.
Franchise kicked off in 1987 with the Arnold Schwarzenegger hit. And he has been tapped to reboot. Look, go with one or the other.
I can't.
The music
it's
the old music. Well, do one or do the other is what I'm saying.
All right, let's do it.
But going back between the two is not the way to go.
Showbiz.
So we can look for new Predators from Robert Rodriguez. And in more casting news, Angelina Jolie has been tapped to play the opera-loving coroner Dr. Kay Scarpetta.
Now I've read those books.
Yes, you have, Lisa. It is a wildly popular book series written by Patricia Cornwell.
Mm-hmm.
And she will star in the first of 16 potential films based on those books.
Wow.
So, finish a thought.
Needless to say, there's a potential for a... No music is good. That sounds great.
We were changing tracks. Sorry.
So obviously there's franchise potential there for those films.
She could do that the rest of her life.
She absolutely could. Even when she gets old and not nearly as hot as she... once was or currently is.
Exactly.
This weekend in movies, top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Obsessed, number one at the box office. $28.5 million made it number one. We were talking about why it was number one at the box office, and I think we forgot to factor in the, what I call, Madea effect.
What is that?
Which is the two leads in this movie are black, and black people will pretty much go see anything with black people in it.
Okay.
And that's why people rush to the movies to see Obsessed this week. Once again, nothing.
It's jarring like when the music runs
like
out.
I don't like that.
Try this.
Okay. Sorry, back to you.
17 again was number two at the box office. Fighting was number three in its debut weekend, made $11.4 million. The Soloist was number four. Earth was number five. Monsters vs. Aliens came in at number six. State of Play was seven. Hannah Montana, the movie, was eight. Fast and Furious and Crank. High Voltage rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Salma Hayek and her French millionaire boyfriend, François-Henri Pinault, were married Saturday in Venice, Italy. The pair...
We need some filler.
You got to pick something and stick with it.
It's a CD, and we're trying to cue it up as fast as we can, but this is
a lot
of work.
We'll have something prepared on another track.
You're a crappy DJ.
Back to you.
Add DJ to the list of things Kevin is crappy at. They got married in Venice, Italy on Saturday. Penelope Cruz, Edward Norton, Woody Harrelson, just some of the celebrities attending, including Charlize Theron and Stuart Townsend.
Your friend.
I hope they don't get any ideas. Oh, wasn't that sweet how they got married? No! No! Bono was there. Anna Vinatour, who is the editor of Vogue magazine, and even former French President Jacques Chirac was there. I guess he had some dirty underdealings with French billionaire François-Henri Pinault.
Sure.
So he had to appear. Oprah Winfrey is suing Mutual of Omaha.
Why?
They've got an advertising campaign, Lisa, where they say that Mutual Omaha is the insurance company for your aha moment. Mm-hmm. When you decide you want to do something different with your life, you make a big decision, they call it the aha moment.
Yeah. Right.
Well, Oprah says that's her catchphrase. She invented that.
What?
So she's sending a cease and desist letter to the insurance company because she says she doesn't want any of her fans to think she's associated with the insurance company in any way. But Mutual of Omaha is not backing down. They filed a countersuit saying, you know what? A lot of people have used the phrase aha moment. It's not yours. And you don't have a trademark for that. Even if you did, you gave up those rights when other people have been using that phrase in the past in different advertisements and things like that. So shut up, Oprah, the lawsuit says.
Good for it.
That sounds uncharacteristically stupid for her.
I hope they sue her for, like, murder.
She loses, sue for murder.
If she loses, they get to murder her. Suing Mutual of Omaha. Shut up. You got more money than God. You don't need the money. And, oh, you don't want anybody to think you're associated with insurance company? You will sell anything that people bring on your show. Any BS book or any freaking piece of merchandise that you give out to your hordes of zombie viewers. So stop
I'm so
it.
Fat.
You think the folks on American Idol have a hard time? Think the people on Big Brother have a hard time? Well, it's a lot worse on Star Academy.
What the hell is Star Academy?
What's Star Academy?
Star Academy is a show filmed in Tbilisi, Georgia, in the former Soviet Union.
Right.
Tbilisi!
Where all the contestants live in the house at the same time. It's like Big Brother and Idol combined.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a singing competition?
It is a performing competition, but all the people have to live in the house for the entire duration of the show on Star Academy. But this year, Star Academy threw in an extra challenge. The five-story building the contestants lived in collapsed on Sunday.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yeah. It's cool. It's like an extra reality show thrown in there. People buried under tons of rubble.
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
Two members of the technical crew were killed.
Wow.
And none of the contestants, though, were seriously injured. They were able to dig them out. So,
whoa.
It's all fun and games until somebody gets an eye poked
out. I'm just saying, wait for it here in America. You know, they're going to have...
collapsing house?
America's Got Talent underground. America's Got Earthquakes or Disastrous Talent or something. We're going to see it.
This season, someone might die.
Yeah. Release some toxic gas into a pipeline someplace, and then people have to compete. Oh, now it's getting mellow.
Okay. I don't think I'm happy with this music.
Great.
I think it's distracting, maybe.
I think you're bad at it. That's for sure.
You want me to work on it between now and next hour?
Yeah, I'd like you to work on it between now and next week. Just take a week and just polish it up. Today's celebrity birthdays: actor William Moseley from The Chronicles of Narnia is 22 years old today. Patrick Stump of Fallout Boy is 25. Uh-oh. He's got all his limbs, though, right? That's not a nickname.
Nope.
That's his actual name?
That is his name.
Patrick Stump?
All arms, all legs.
Sheena Easton turns 50. Ace Frehley, guitarist for Kiss. Ace Frehley, he's the star child?
I don't know.
Yes.
No.
Spaceman? He's a spaceman? Space Ace?
Ace Frehley has the...
He's Space Ace. No, that was Peter Criss, you dope. Space Ace, right? He's the spaceman.
You're right.
Yeah, okay. 58 years old today. Kate Pearson of the B-52s is 61, and announcer Casey Kasem turns 77 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this beat.
Let's welcome Aziz Ansari to the studio.
Yeah.
Aziz.
Hello. Woo. Thank you for having me.
How are you, man?
I'm very good.
The first thing I really, really noticed you standing out in was the scrubs.
Yes, absolutely.
Because to go into a show like that and kind of, to me, you kind of stole the show. Yeah.
Oh, thanks so much.
That was pretty... That was crazy.
That was so fun. It was tough. I did a couple of episodes of the show, and I had to leave because I'm doing this new show on NBC.
Parks and Recreation.
Me and Zach got really close, and, you know, we still send each other mixtapes all the time.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, you know, this is a really close...
Is it hard to jump onto a show like that? But I mean, there's such an ensemble cast and stuff. Was it weird to jump into the middle of that, or they were just very welcoming?
They're just so... Everyone there is just so nice and welcoming. It was really easy to jump in, and you know, Bill Lawrence, the guy that kind of runs the show, like, you know, he was a big fan of mine and was just, like, really cool about letting me, you know, kind of bring any ideas I had to the character and things like that. So that all made it really easy.
Oh, that's very cool.
And you've been in The Rocker, School for Scoundrels, Observe and Report.
Yeah.
You're going to be in the... What's the...
The new Judd Apatow?
Yeah, the new Judd Apatow movie?
Yeah. I'm doing this new Judd Apatow movie, Funny People, coming out. That was really fun. And I did
What's
a small part in I Love You, Man. Funny People is about Adam Sandler plays this really famous comedian who finds out he's dying. And he kind of befriends this younger comedian, Seth Rogen. And it's kind of about their relationship and him dealing with, you know, thinking he's going to die and stuff. And I kind of play this other comedian that's in their world that's just kind of this really filthy comedian with a bunch of bravado that just kind of every other comedian hates him, but the audiences just love him. And it was super fun. But
is that based on anyone?
No, I just kind of was trying to think of, like, you know, the idea of, like, a comedian that other comedians hate and the audiences love. I guess if I had to kind of describe it, it would kind of be like if... Maybe if, like, Soulja Boy tried to do stand-up comedy or something.
Perfect
like that.
Example.
I think that's...
Yeah.
It's like he dances around a lot and, like, you know, he just, like, really is like, I gotta come up with all these catchphrases and stuff. It's kind of like if Soulja Boy and R. Kelly, like, came together and created a stand-up comedian is what Randy...
And the other comedians can't figure out why people like him? Is that part of it?
I mean, he's just playing to the lowest common denominator. Like, he comes out on stage and he's dancing and he's just, like, you know, just yelling at people and stuff and... It's just like, you know, such a pandering to the lowest common denominator.
Now, how long have you been doing stand-up?
I've been doing stand-up since about May of 2001, so about 8 years now, yeah.
Wow.
I saw that you started with the Upright Citizens Brigade. I have some friends that are doing that.
Oh,
it seems
yeah.
a lot of people have come out of that
yeah.
group.
Yeah, I did improv classes at the UCB Theater in New York, and but I was always mainly doing stand-up, but I did take those classes and stuff, and I performed at the theater a lot, and yeah, it's a great place. They have one in LA as well.
Yeah, it's a good place to get started. But then you did stand-up after that?
No, I started off doing stand-up, and then while I was doing that for a little while, I took classes and stuff and kind of learned that stuff a little bit, but I was always kind of focusing on
stand-up. Do you still prefer it? Would you rather do that? TV is a whole different beast, isn't it?
You know, I kind of like what I do now. I do a little bit of everything. I keep doing stand-up, and, you know, I've done little parts in movies and stuff, and I'm doing the TV show Parks and Rec, and yeah, it's good.
Aziz is doing Aziz Ansari and Friends tomorrow night at Largo.
Yes, I'm doing the show at Largo. I'm working on some new stand-up stuff, and I have some friends joining me.
Who would that be?
Mindy Kaling from The Office will be there.
Oh, really?
My friend Nick Kroll. My friend Brett Gelman and my friend
they're
Harris
really
Whittles.
Friends.
Yeah, they're all really. I'm friends with all of them.
That's cool.
I talk to them. I talk to all four of them every day.
Not
that good of friends,
but you know.
Yeah, I know them pretty well.
Are you still friends with the, do you still talk to the guys from Flight of the Conchords, which is maybe one of our favorite shows?
Yeah, they're great. I haven't talked to them in a while. I think they're on tour right now, but they were in L.A. for a little while, and yeah, you know, I hang out with them every now and then when they're in town. Yeah, they're super nice guys.
People that watch that show might remember the New Zealand versus Australian episode.
Yes.
Here's a little clip from that.
Too bad New Zealanders are a bunch of cocky a-holes descended from criminals and retarded monkeys.
Are you thinking of Australians?
Yeah, that's Australians.
That's Australians.
No, 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 New Zealanders. They throw another shrimp on the barbie, ride around in your kangaroos all day.
No,
that's Australians.
You're thinking of Australians, that's not us.
I've totally confused you with Australians. I feel terrible.
Oh, no.
Your accents, they're just kind of similar.
Our accents are completely different. We'd be like, where's the car? And we're like, where's the car?
Those guys are so good. They came in and they were singing their songs and everything else, and they're amazingly talented.
But they're just great. Like they are on the show. Like, they were really kind of quiet.
They're very similar.
They are.
There's only slightly heightened versions of themselves.
And you watch that show and you go, wow, they work really hard to stay low-key, I think.
Yeah.
It's almost not possible to stay that low-key in real life.
Yeah.
Almost. I mean, you just kind of get that feeling that they're underplaying everything, but they just are barely alive, both of them. But it so works for that show. Now, we heard that show is going to be, they're not going to do it anymore. Is that true? Do you know anything about that?
I don't know. I'm sure HBO wants to do more of it.
I think.
Yeah. You know, I think like, you know, those rumors of like, you know, I think there was like some rumors like of them saying like, oh, there's no way we could do another one. It's so much work. And I think it's like, you know, I did a show, Human Giant on MTV, where I was kind of, you know, the executive producer and writer, and, you know, with three other guys that are friends of mine. And when you do everything, it does seem like a lot of work. And when you're like, if you do an interview in the middle of it, when you're up all night in the edit, you know, you're just like,
you can't imagine continuing.
I can't imagine doing this anymore. It's too much work. But
And think of how much work it is to write all of the songs.
Oh, I can't imagine.
For each episode.
That would
be brutal. And the music and stuff.
I mean,
that's brutal.
I've been with them when they've been in the thick of the work. And it's a lot. You know, they'll shoot all week and then, you know, record music on the weekends.
I was going to say, do they ever like, they're like still putting the songs together and trying to figure it out in the middle of everything? Like the week that
they're
shooting?
Season, I think they were like working on songs while they were shooting and stuff used all the old songs in the first season. Yeah.
Right.
That's what the guys in South Park still do. That's why I admire them. They still are putting together that show on the day of.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of schedule is crazy to me, but they've been doing it ever since they started, and that's the way they do it.
It works for them,
Aziz Ansari is here. The new show is Parks and Recreation on NBC Thursday nights at 8:30, and we will talk about that, among other things, when we get back. Aziz Ansari is in the studio with us. He's in the new show Parks and Recreation, which is on Thursday nights at 8:30 on NBC. Explain it, Aziz, to people who haven't seen what your little group does.
Okay.
What you little people do.
Parks and Recreation is this new show on NBC. It's from the producers of The Office, so it's shot in that same, like a documentary-style comedy. And it stars Amy Poehler and myself and Rashida Jones and a bunch of other awesome people. And basically, the setting is that we all work in the parks department in this small town in Indiana. And it's just kind of about, you know, us working in the local government. And
Amy Poehler, who thinks that everything that they do is the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah, she thinks everything's super important. And I kind of play this jerk that kind of works with her and just, you know, kind of makes fun of her to her face pretty much all the time. And it's been really fun.
Who's the guy that plays your boss? I love him.
Oh, Nick Offerman?
Oh. He's so great.
He is awesome. He's really, really funny. He plays this guy, Ron, who's just this guy that just basically hates the idea of government, but he works as a head of the Parks Department. Pretty much.
He's against government, oddly enough.
Yeah.
And your character, Tom, pretty much you're a suck-up to him.
Yeah, I kind of try to, you know, I'm kind of a weasel. Like, I'm trying to suck up to the right people and, you know, just kind of make a case for myself, like, you know. He's ultimately just a weasel, I guess.
I have a clip of you talking about him.
You're the word king. She was probably cheating.
I knew that couldn't have been you. You don't have the vocabulary.
I know.
You can't even spell vocabulary.
V-O-G-X. Was that right? No.
That speaks probably for so many people who are way smarter than their bosses.
Yeah.
but their bosses don't know it, kind of a thing.
And you don't want them to know
it? And you don't want them to know it, so you just play along and let them think that you're whatever, you know.
Right.
But this particular boss, he knows and respects that about your character.
I'm not an idiot. I know Tom has been losing to me on purpose. But I like Tom. He doesn't do a lot of work around here. He shows zero initiative. He's not a team player. He's never one to go that extra mile. Tom is exactly what I'm looking for in a government employee.
That's nice. I wish more bosses were like that. Literally just don't want people to excel. So you've done 6 episodes of this show.
We finished filming the 6th episode a few weeks ago. And, the ratings have been pretty good. So it's looking pretty good for a second season.
For a second season. Full season.
Apparently more people watched our last episode than the season finale of Friends. That's
Are
it.
You
what?
Serious?
I was trying to make sense of that.
Yeah, I've just been emailing.
Totally sucked us in.
I saw Matthew Perry at the Arclight, and I was like, hey, guess what, man? I beat you. I'm better than you. My show is better than you.
And did he say what? I'm sorry,
and,
what?
It was just a guy that looked like Matthew Perry, but it felt just as good.
So you're not positive about a new season or whatever they're going to let you know soon? Or
I think we'll find out soon. It's looking pretty good.
I'll tell you, it's one of those shows that has... this is going to sound negative. I don't mean it to. It has nothing but potential. It seems like it's not even hit its full stride yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I think like it takes a while for a show to, like, you know, it's if you look at the first season of The Office compared to, you know, the third or fourth season, it really...
Or Scrubs,
any show, you kind of get to know the characters and you kind of figure out, okay, these are who these characters are. These are the kind of stories we're good at telling.
Here's
you know?
What's right. really funny,
yeah,
here's what's
and,
not.
And I feel like we've done a great job so far, but yeah, I totally agree. I feel like the potential is huge. I think, you know, you have someone like Amy heading
a
show.
Great.
She's so awesome. I fully believe in it.
She's fun off the when they're not shooting, or does she scream at you pretty much and put you
Amy,
in your place?
You know, she is a total diva.
Yeah.
If I mess up a take, like, she'll just grab Twizzlers from her purse and just start throwing them at my face and go like, this is my time. This is my time. That's what she always says.
She says you're
wasting my time. That's like her phrase. And it's
how
like,
many
why
Twizzlers
are you being so
does
mean?
She,
so
how many Twizzlers does she have in her purse?
I mean, she usually has one pack of Twizzlers. And then after that, if things get really bad, she busts out the Twix bars. And then
just
she'll just like, just like, wow, you're wasting my time.
And that seems like a rough
Twix
work
bars,
environment.
Yeah, like they get chocolate all over whatever suit or whatever I'm wearing. So that slows us down. I got to change. And then she yells at the wardrobe, be like, why can't you clean it faster?
Oh, that's
And
ugly.
It's just, ugh.
I don't know how you
but
work under those
funny.
Conditions.
She's very funny, so it kind of balances it out, I guess.
Tell us about your stand-up tomorrow night at the Largo.
Largo is...
how much do you do? How much do friends do?
You know, I just finished this big tour called the Glow in the Dark Tour. And it was this tour I did is like, you know, an hour tour. I was recording a CD and everything. And the Glow in the Dark Tour, I named it that because Kanye West had a tour called the Glow in the Dark Tour.
He did, that's
and,
true.
And so I actually ended up getting to meet him because of that. He found out about it and, you know, I had to get his permission to use that name. And he came to the LA show and we kind of became friends.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
and
weird.
So now I've been writing new material and a lot of it's just been about... Adventures with Kanye West. And so that's a big chunk of the stuff I'm doing doing tomorrow.
Is that based in any reality? I mean, have you become friends with him? That's a weird thing where you just all of a sudden find yourself.
You know, it's like musicians and comedians, like there's always like musicians love comedy more than anybody. And so, yeah, you know, like I've.
Has he come to your house?
He hasn't come to my house.
All right. Have you gone to his?
I have been to his house.
Wow.
Really?
I can't tell the whole story because it's too long, but he made me do stand-up at his house one time.
And
yeah.
If he tells you to, you do, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like, I was like, no, man, I can't do that. Like when I went to his house the first time, like I walked in and I heard him playing Heartless, and I was like, man, are you listening to your own record? Are you listening to 808s and Heartbreak? And he's like, yeah, man, these beats are dope.
Now, you didn't have to perform just for him, though.
No.
Some of his friends or whatever?
He wasn't like... Snap, snap. All right, buddy, 10 minutes, let's go. No, it was like a party. There was like people there, and he was like, be really cool. And I was like, all right, well.
When Kanye says it would be
really
cool, you got to do it.
Well,
that's bizarre.
Yeah, I'm like such a huge fan of his. Like, it really, yeah, I was really psyched he came to my show and stuff. Like,
it's very cool.
I listened to his stuff like every day.
Were you afraid at first when you called the tour that, and then you heard that he... I guess you had to get his okay to do it, right? And that just seems like
a
bad plan.
Well, at first I was like, oh no, like he took this the wrong way. He doesn't realize I was a fan. But,
right.
You know, once he found out I was a fan and, you know, I was a comic and it was a joke, like he was totally cool. He was super nice about it. And he was like, yeah, of course. And he put it on his blog and stuff. And it was all really nice.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you'd like to see Aziz Ansari and friends, you can go tomorrow night, Largo-LA.com or 310-855-0350. That's at Largo 366 North La Cienega Boulevard, right above Beverly Boulevard.
Cool.
There you go. Aziz, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Maybe
so
you could come back for Funny next People.
Season? Oh, yeah.
I would love to. Yeah.
And next season of Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
And your next Kanye gig.
Yes. Whatever.
Yeah.
I think we were supposed to do a grand prize drawing about 20 minutes ago.
Oops.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You know the Green Day in the USA where
a K-Rock fan can... We were going to do that.
Yeah. 7:15 right. This morning, we're going to do the grand prize drawing.
Mm.
And now it's 7:40, so maybe we should get to that.
All righty, then.
Everybody
good for
that
us.
Qualified is in the drawing to see them any place that they are playing in the United States, and we're calling the winner now.
Okay.
So, anywhere.
Hello?
Is this Dylan?
Yes.
Dylan Carrasco?
Yeah.
Hey, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. You are our grand prize winner.
Are you? Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Not kidding. You're our grand prize.
Dude.
Which means you get to see Green Day in anywhere you want to in the United States. I have a list in front of me. They're going to play most of July and most of August.
Okay. Where can you go?
Do you have a favorite city?
Because
we have Seattle, Minneapolis, Chicago, Boston, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, New York, Washington, D.C., Nashville. You could go all the way to Los Angeles if you play your cards right. Las Vegas, San Diego, Miami. God.
Wow, that is Miami. That'd be cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude.
Okay, you don't have to make a decision right now, but we will send you a list of all the places they're going to be. It looks like they're going to be at about 20 places in July and about 30 places in August. So
nice.
You can pick whichever day you want to see Green Day.
Okay.
You get airfare for two, you get hotel, you get two tickets to the show, and you get $106.7 spending cash.
Really?
That seems especially low.
$106.
Wow. We're cutting back because of the economy.
I'd probably bring some extra cash.
$106. Wow.
Yeah.
We are cheap bastards. Well,
thank you guys.
Sorry about the whole spending cash thing, but everything else sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
And Green Day back on the road is exciting for all of us. So enjoy, and we'll have somebody call you back with all the details.
Congratulations.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Dylan.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. 106.7 K-Rock.
I get late for show. Too many rooms in building.
It's K-Rock in the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey,
I'm
buddy.
Back.
That's Matt Money Smith.
Hey.
Run all the way.
I'm not out of breath.
I wasn't
running.
You're holding it in right now. Come on, give me three more sentences and we'll hear it.
No, I didn't know the song was ending. I wasn't even running.
I just strolled.
Was shocked.
I was in Lightning's office watching
some video.
What were
you doing, reading the Green Day plaque or something in the hallway?
Did you see that we gave out $106.7?
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
That's unbelievable.
So sad.
We used to give away $500. Really? We need it that badly? The economy's that bad?
I'm surprised they didn't give away $10.76.
Just cut it back. Or $10.67, either one.
What'd I say?
76.
I threw an extra 11 cents.
That's nice of you. It's 7:50. Matt Money Smith, as you can hear, is in the studio with us.
Don't mock me.
Yes, I can mock you.
Do you
if
have
I want.
A favorite city?
Well, that was a dumb question.
Yes, Madrid. Well, they're not playing there. Any other favorite cities?
No,
Dylan?
I asked him because I have favorite cities that I like to go to. I like to go to Miami. I like to go, there's different places
but
I would rather.
But it doesn't really matter if Green Day's not playing there. I don't think it doesn't really matter.
Playing,
oh, well, we'll tell Green Day to go to your favorite city then, and they'll play for you there.
That was the least embarrassing thing about that phone call, by the way.
That's all right.
$106.
Dylan's a little out of it.
Yeah. He's a little sleepy.
I wish he'd answered me. It'd have been great. Dylan? Me. You're a big winner. Hey, the favorite city.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz beat.
This is an interesting showbiz story. I love the inside scoop, the behind the scenes. And this comes to someone I won't expose their name for fear of causing them trouble. But.
Who is it?
Ralph, I know how you feel about Twitter. Well, I thought you'd appreciate this story. Someone works at Kiss FM.
Okay.
And this person's job, writes the email, is to be Ryan Seacrest on Twitter for a given number of hours per day. Apparently, staffers take turns being Ryan on Twitter. This person is given a list of activities and responses to act as Ryan. So for all those people who think they've got some sort of secret insight into the lives of Ryan Seacrest, turns out they're being lied to by some intern who is representing the celebrity.
That's
awesome.
Thought
it was funny.
couldn't resist telling you, and I will reserve the person's name because he doesn't want to get in trouble over there at KISS. Sure. But that's what they do there, at least.
That's what we should do here.
Ryan Seacrest is twittering is actually some low-level intern, as opposed to you guys who actually, like, jackholes Twitter.
I'm dumb enough to Twitter.
Yeah, the NBA guys actually Twitter themselves, but I think that's because they feel smart that they can type.
And
it's a brain-building exercise for them.
Their type of spelling's encouraged.
Yes.
When you're texting, actually. You know what I mean? U, B, going with the letter U and the B.
The letter B.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, I Twitter. I do the Twitter.
I heard you Twitter. You and P both
P,
Twitter.
Yeah, we're working on 1,000. We're almost at 1,000 followers now, which is pretty big for us.
Wow.
That's
like Kutcher, Christian.
We're trying.
Ashton Kutcher numbers.
Take on Oprah.
I suggested guys meet me for a drink one night after a late night of Lakers line. You know, right. I was wrapping up the show at like midnight. And I said, hey, I'm going to hit the local bar right on the way to my house. If anyone wants to meet me, we'll have a drink. What happened? About 4 or 5 dudes.
No kidding. Wow.
Rolled up. It's kind of nice.
That's cool.
Did you get lucky?
No, but I got free drinks.
Oh, that's
big victory for me.
That's how you roll.
Does someone want to buy me drinks?
That's
well,
sad.
I offered to buy it for everybody else, but they said,
all right.
I know how that was
going
to turn out. All right.
I'll get the next round. Boo's gone after one round.
Doesn't having someone else Twitter for you defeat the purpose pretty much entirely?
You think.
Yes.
Unless you're a giant poser like Ryan Seacrest and you're just trying to appear hip and with it.
Dave Sanchez tweets, doesn't he? The King of Mexico.
Does he
just tweet Z's?
Someone should fake tweet for him because it would be so much more interesting than what he actually writes.
He was Twittering from Coachella all 3 days, and he wrote about bands in about 2 of them and wrote about Kentucky Fried Chicken and the traffic and all this other crap for about 75 times.
Oh, original recipe was the right call.
And then he puts, who could believe I'm at a party with Kanye West? That was the only mention. No details, no anything else. That was it. He doesn't know.
Who'd have thunk it?
You should hear him this morning in the office. So, Miss Cleo, what do you think of Kim Kardashian's new hair? Do you like it?
He was saying
me
that?
Neither. I don't think it goes with her skin coloring. What are you, a 12-year-old girl? What the hell?
No way.
That's a conversation that just happened. I don't like it. I don't think it goes with her skin coloring. It's better when she was had dark brunette hair.
You have to be exaggerating.
I'm telling you, that happened.
Was he bedazzling his hooded sweatshirt as he was saying that?
So what a fembot. I don't like her new hair color. I like it better as a brunette. It doesn't match her skin coloring as good.
We've always made jokes that he's a 12-year-old girl. He is, though.
Pathetic. All right, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do it every Monday. Obsessed inexplicably came in at number one with
Get that white bitch out of my house!
$28.5 million. With
Beyonce's makeup. I like it.
And Ali Larden. Ali Larden looked better with she had some frosting tips in her hair. And I think her eyeshadow was a little heavy. You should stay away from greens. It makes her look pale.
We need to do a new segment of makeup tips with Dave Mexico.
The King's Makeover.
The King's Makeover.
17 again was number 2 at the box office. Fighting came in at number 3 with Carol Channing, I think, was in this.
Tatum
O'Neal and Carol Channing.
Channing Tatum.
11.
I don't want to fight, but I have to.
I know I'm nothing, man. I know. $11.4 million. The Soloist with Jamie Foxx acting up a storm in this movie. $9.7 million made at number 4. Earth was 5. Monsters vs. Aliens came in at number 6. Then State of Play, Hannah Montana, the movie, Fast and Furious. Crank, High Voltage, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this
No
week.
Paul Blart Mall Cop in there still, huh?
Finally fell off the top 10. Finally fell out.
That's too bad.
See Observe and Report, speaking of mall movies?
Yeah, I did not see it. Is it great?
Great, but very dark.
What a damn shame.
It does not surprise me that it did not do that well at the box office, because I think a lot of people were surprised when they went in there.
Expecting it to be wacky?
They were expecting a wacky, hilarious comedy, and they got freaked up weirdness.
It's kind of like what happened in Pineapple Express, too.
Monkey fighting movie right there. Pineapple Express, exactly. Yeah, same deal. Here's a showbiz story that tells you exactly why women hate men and should.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys are Monty Python fans. I am. Legendary British comedy group.
Spam.
From the 70s and 80s. One of the great comedy troupes of all time. Terry Jones is a member of Monty Python. Huge star over in England. He was doing a book signing at the Oxford University in 2004. He's married. He's been married to his wife, I don't know, 30 years or something. meets a 22-year-old girl during the book signing.
Yeah.
Leaves his wife for the 22-year-old. This is in 2004.
She must have been hot.
Just announced today, 76-year-old Terry Jones is going to be a father. His girlfriend, Anna, who is 26 now, is pregnant with his child.
Oh, he's...
Wow.
Did you say he's 76?
I'm sorry, 67. A little dyslexic there. 67 years old.
Either
she
way.
She is 26. 41-year age difference. 41-year age difference between the two of them, and she is now pregnant with his child.
Oh, my God.
When that kid is in high school, what's he going to do? He's going to play ball?
He's going to be dead.
He's going to be in a coffin.
He'll be decomposed for 5 years.
Yes. Apparently, wow. According to the Daily Telegraph, the London newspaper, his ex-wife is not pleased.
Oh,
no
I'm sure.
Kidding.
Nor are his grown children, by the way.
Who are in their 40s.
Probably.
Yeah, she was probably at the book signing to get the book signed for, like, her grandfather. Because she didn't know who he was.
Well, the Python is pretty big stuff
I know,
over in
she's
England.
22.
Dude,
come on.
What college age, you know, that's when like, you discover.
That's right.
The Holy Grail and all. Well, not the actual Holy Grail. The movie.
The movie.
That's right.
You smoke out and you watch it.
He discovered the Holy Grail when he met her.
See that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Lisa.
I got a Holy Grail for you.
Right? Yeah. Make you feel young again.
More men or swine news.
Just got a drink from it.
Mel Gibson's wife, Robin.
Uh-oh.
Who is divorcing Mel after, I don't know, 400 years of marriage.
Yep.
Apparently, she's found out that, here's the thing, he's got three different Oksanas that he is apparently dating.
Each and they're all claiming, Jewish.
Each one claiming to be his real girlfriend.
Right.
Oksana Grigorieva.
Hot.
Another Russian actress,
Russian
model,
Jew.
Musician. Is now telling friends that she is carrying the child of Mel Gibson.
Yes.
Is that the one that he told to shut up?
No, that's a different Oksana.
Wow.
Yeah. What the hell?
He's
three
got
Russian broads, all named Oksana, are claiming to be his girlfriends. This one, Oksana Grigorieva, says that she is carrying his baby.
Okay.
And that's why Robin was moved to get a divorce immediately, because she's had enough.
Oh, I see.
And this was the final straw.
You know how we get, like, our celebrity free pass? You know, yes. Us regular. Do you think celebrities just like get to pick a name?
Oksana.
You know, like, hey, my name's going to be Oksana.
If I meet any girl named Oksana, I can do her.
It's a totally unique.
And Robin probably figures she's safe.
Name,
how many
right?
Oksanas are out there?
Yeah,
next thing you know,
it's the Jennifer of Russia.
Go to Russia. They're all over the place.
A ton of Oksanas.
Freaking commies.
Next will be Bayul. Next Oksana.
That was a good spread, actually.
Good.
Remember that Oksana Bayul spread?
Yeah.
Looked like she just downed a pint of vodka. That's puffy eyes. She was all naked.
She was rough. That's good news. And Heidi and Heidi and Spencer got married over the weekend, as expected, at the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Pasadena, California.
We won't let gays get married, but we let them get married.
Yeah, really.
How is that right?
The biggest surprise at the event this weekend, Lauren Conrad, saying she would not show up, did in fact show up at the wedding.
Wow, I'll bet that was shocking.
Oh, dun, dun, dun. I tell you, that's going to be a big moment on the hills when MTV, apparently the crews were there capturing every precious moment on video, so they will build up to that blockbusting moment.
I thought the surprise was going to be God appeared and smote everybody.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great?
Attendance or smited or whatever that word
whatever
would
the
be.
Word would be.
Burst into flames. Spontaneous combustion abounded. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? William Moseley from the Chronicles of what? Narnia is 22 years old today. Patrick Stump of Fallout Boy is 25 years old today. He's the singer-songwriter of Fallout Boy. Or Fallout Boy.
Sure. Either way.
Get it. Sheena Easton. Oh, my baby takes the morning train. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'd like to see her sugar wall. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-oh.
Know what I'm saying?
Uh-oh.
No, I don't.
I'd like to have... For her eyes only. You know what I'm saying?
That doesn't even make sense.
I know. But she's hot at 50. Ace Frehley.
Yeah.
Space Ace from
Damn
Kiss.
Damn straight.
He's 58 years
smoking
old.
Smoking guitar when he did the solo. Remember that?
He smokes a
freaking
lot of things.
Guitar would smoke.
That's right. Hey, Kate Pearson, the B-52s, is 61 years old today. Her hair would smoke when they were singing.
Yeah,
it's true. And Casey Kasem, legendary announcer. Not only the voice of the top 10 for all those years.
Yes.
But not many people know the top 40. Yeah.
Give me the animation.
But not a lot of people know. Well, also the voice of Shaggy, of course, on Scooby-Doo. Yeah. Gee, Scoob, like, wow, man. And the voice of Robin on the Super Friends, bitch.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, that's right. Monkey fighting Robin. That's right. Take it. Did you hear us talking about the Sam L. Jackson Snakes on a Plane clip?
No.
Do we have that? Do we have that?
We're looking
for it. That up?
We're looking for
That's
it.
Where Monkey Fighter comes from. I was saying that really now in this day and age with all the cable channels that show movies, regular television no longer needs to show movies. Because what they do is they just screw it up. Because with the editing and the cursing they're afraid of and the way they change the format, the screen format, and they cut it up and there's commercials and they cut scenes out and they change the dialogue. And this was really what set me up. This is, we don't have it.
We don't have it.
Okay.
We'll get it for the next hour, though.
It was Samuel L. Jackson on Snakes on the Plane, that famous scene from Snakes in a Plane. I want these MF
Mother, right.
Snakes off my MF and plane. On FX, they had redubbed it, had him redub the lines, and it came out, I want these monkey fighting snakes off this Monday to Friday plane.
they re-recorded that instead of dropping it out
Monday
of beeping
to Friday plane?
Yes. Monday to Friday plane.
Okay.
Yeah. Monkey fighting snakes.
Plane here doesn't operate on the weekends. a weekday plane.
And it was Samuel Jackson's voice.
Yeah, he obviously had to redub it.
Monkey fighting.
So monkey fighters.
I'm boycotting FX. That's what I'm saying. It. I'm out. Sorry, rescue me. I'm done with you.
See you later, Nip Tuck. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Former sports guy Matt Money Smith in the studios with us. He's written a book.
I am an author. I am a published author.
He isn't wearing shoes on the picture on the cover, though.
Stupid art director.
Why are you not wearing
shoes? He is barefoot.
Following instructions, you know?
He's barefoot.
That is bizarre.
They wanted it to be very Southern California themed, you know? So when you look at that cover, you see...
Bird legs.
Yeah. Well, no. Those got covered up by the banner. I got real lucky there. But you think Southern California, I guess.
Tell us what the book is.
The book is called The Great Book of Los Angeles Sports List. We submitted some 120 lists that you can digest easily in one sitting, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
That kind of book. Or it just moves. The book moves real well. You know, everything's top 10 or top 8 or top 6. And it's every sports franchise, either defunct or current, moved back, and then there's just some kind of, I think, sports observations that we've all had, you know, things you love about the ballpark, the best fans, the stupid songs you hear over and over again that you don't ever need to hear again, you know, mixed in with things like, you know, the best duos, the all-time 1 through 10 roster, you know, very sports-centric list as well, so you can kind of educate yourself on history.
Let's talk about the sports fans.
Okay.
Because that one, I think you might get a little heat on, but I'm happy with it.
Yeah, no question. It's the first one in the book, and likely everyone will disagree except for the number one fans, I believe, in Southern California.
Which are?
I put the Los Angeles Kings fans. I think year in, year out, good team, bad team. Doesn't matter who's the opposing team that's on the ice. If the Columbus Blue Jackets are in town, there are still those same 13,000 yep. people there that are there when the Red Wings are in town. I think they have the least vacillation between when their team is doing good and bad, how they feel about their squad.
Well, let's be honest, because I'm a Kings fan. A lot of bad.
I mean, a lot of bad. I mean, a lot of bad. It's been a decade of bad.
It's not like they soar to the new heights
no,
every other year.
They should
year.
Have zero fans right now. They really should have nobody going to their games except parents who want to show their kids that play hockey in junior leagues what professionals
that
look like.
That might be true other years. This year they've had a pretty good team, pretty young, good team.
They missed the playoffs again. Yes, they're young.
That happened, yes.
You know how you sell a pretty good young team? Kansas City. That's who says, hey, we got a pretty good young team, you know?
But that means next year's going to be great.
Really?
I don't know why I'm arguing with you. You named the Kings fans the number
Kings
one.
Kings fans, number one.
Lakers were number two.
Lakers were number two, yeah, because I think it's there's no question it's the most popular franchise in the city.
It is,
but at the same time, you know, and I think part of this is personal experience. When I graduated college, I called up the Lakers and got season tickets with one phone call. Blew my mind that I could just pick up the phone and say, yeah, like season tickets, what's the waiting list look like? Oh, you can get them right now. Where do you want to sit? And that's because it was right after, you know, they were in the lottery in 1995. So I think that fan base kind of grows and shrinks with the popularity.
Grows now, look, huge.
It's been a really good decade for the Lakers, so it's at its peak right now.
No, but I agree. I mean, it is more difficult to be a Kings fan now that the hockey playoffs are going on and they aren't anywhere. I've been looking for games every night. They're not there.
No.
Turns out they're not in
the playoffs again. Although I was really proud of that list that ahead of the Clippers and the Ducks and the Angels were the Raiders. Team no longer in L.A.
That's correct.
Still has the fourth best fan base in a city that was jilted.
Kings were one, Lakers were two, Dodgers were three, Raiders are four.
Four, yeah, Raiders.
And then you got
Raiders!
USC and UCLA before the Angels and Ducks and Chargers and then, of course, Clippers.
Yes. Yeah, Clippers really just on the list to insult them. Okay. Just did it so I could write a paragraph to insult them. You know, it's really the only reason I put that in there. And every Clipper list that we have, and there's like four lists in here, are worst Clipper coaches, worst Clipper draft picks, worst Clipper moments. That there's nothing good with that franchise and like the four or five lists that made it into the book.
You know what I find? And I don't know that this is true for everyone, but I know it is true of Dave the King of Mexico. There are more Laker haters that end up being Clipper fans, in quotes.
That's the line that I wrote.
There.
They don't really like the Clippers.
Dave
the Clippers.
Oh, okay.
They simply want to rebel against the Lakers.
Yep.
They just want to be contrary.
That's Dave.
That's it.
That's why he
totally
likes the Clippers.
Called it. Yeah.
We were going to talk to, who's the voice, who does the game play-by-play for the Clippers?
Oh, Ralph Lawler.
Ugh. We were going to talk to him, and we were looking at a statistic that he has called, I don't know, 1,600 losses or something like that. I mean, it's just unbelievable that the guy still has any enthusiasm at all, and yet he has a great enthusiasm.
For a guy whose two signature catchphrases are bingo and fasten your seatbelts.
Yep.
Really not a lot of bingo you need to fasten your seatbelts for in that man's history.
Top 10 chickisms?
Top 10 chickisms, yes. Yeah, you know, of course, the greatest, well, there's the argument about who the greatest broadcaster is in Southern California history. Of course, Vin Scully,
sure.
You have Chick Hearn, and you have Bob Miller, the triumvirate of great sportscasters. Vin probably at the top, but obviously Laker fans have a relationship with Chick, and I think a lot of people don't realize how many things Chick came up with. You know, they know about the refrigerator,
right,
but they don't realize that Chick was slam dunk, that Chick was alley-oop. I mean, that's all stuff that Chick came up with.
No one had alley-oop?
No, just became standard basketball vernacular. And then there's the great Chickisms, like, you know, they couldn't beat the Sisters of Mercy. You know, just great little moments that you came to love every time he uttered those
phrases.
Remember
when you were our sports guy?
Unfortunately, yes.
You mind if I play that clip? This is
trying to sell a book here.
This is Matt Money Smith with his list of top 10 chickisms.
Respected sports authority. Check this out. I'm not a real big fan of Paul Sunderland, dude who took over the impossible job of replacing legend Chuck Hearn. Something, by the way, I'm very familiar with.
I was a big fan of Chuck Hearn myself. I thought Chuck was better than any announcer on the planet.
I really said Chuck?
Yeah, you did.
I think that was the morning after a singles party.
That could be.
And I was still drunk.
You were a little hungover.
But yeah, the mustard came off the hot dog. And my favorite chickism, actually, the Koopaloop. It wasn't number one. It's in the refrigerator. But God, I love the Koopaloop.
Yeah, it's in the refrigerator. No one ever else.
Why bother?
It seems like some people try to steal that kind of stuff. But you don't steal that. You can't do it.
No, you cannot.
It's impossible.
So good. You know, Zeke, our old friend Zeke, actually got Chick to change it's in the refrigerator for one game.
He did?
He and
did
I used to call. Chick used to do the pregame show
way back
in the day, so we used to call him on the way to the Laker game every time and just ask him one question. Zeke would always say, Chick, can you just say the beer is cooling? Just for us alcohol drinking Laker fans. See what I can do, you know, and then one day we were driving home and sure enough, the game's in the refrigerator in the bin for Zeke, the beer is cooling.
Nice.
I think we had sex with each other because no woman would find that entertaining.
And now you do that show.
Now I do that
That's
show.
That's not right.
That's kind of weird.
All right.
And I got a book.
What's the name of the book?
The book is called The Great Book of Los Angeles Sports List. It's available today online everywhere. All your major Southern California retailers, you know, Barnes & Noble and Borders and all those spots will have it.
And we will continue the conversation when we get back.
I got a book.
Matt Money Smith is in the studio. He has a book. And we never thought we'd see that day. I got to be honest.
Yeah. It's the great American novel. It really is.
And by novel, you mean?
It's called The Great Book of Los Angeles Sports Lists. It's a collection of about 100 top 10 lists surrounding Los Angeles sports teams, be they defunct, moved on, or still here.
How'd you come up with the idea?
They contacted me.
Oh, they did?
The publisher, Running Press, called me and said, would you be interested? We're going to try to do this in every major city. We hear you're a pretty smart guy that's well-liked. Would you like
mind
to do
taking
it?
A photo without shoes on the front cover?
So myself and Steve Hartman, who's a walking encyclopedia, you see him on Channel 2 with Jim Hill on Sports Central every Saturday and Sunday. He, of course, has a talk show here in Southern California, too, has for about 20 years. So he and I kind of collaborated, and he did a lot of the encyclopedia themed style lists, you know, Dodgers best third baseman, rookie seasons, you know, greatest duos, things like that. Whereas I kind of brought the The funny. I guess is the way you would describe it.
We don't have a lot of time, but let's go through some of them kind of as quickly as we can.
Sure.
The 10 best bars.
10 best bars. Yeah, yes. We do this. Oh. That's something I got from Kevin and Bean, of course. Every football season, we would say, give us your team's bar and go. So I kind of did some research and found out which were the most popular for the Dodgers and the Angels and spots like that and put together the 10 best. The shortstop came out on top, which is right there in Echo Park on the way to Dodger Stadium. And if you don't have an opportunity to go to the game, they give you, I think it's like dollar PBRs draft during the game, and they got a DJ that spins afterwards. It turns into like a pretty hip club, and hot chicks start showing up after you watch the game. So, the top of the list there.
That works. Top 10 Los Angeles area college mascots.
Oh, yeah. We got great ones here.
I mean, these are unbelievable.
They really are. You got Tuffy the Elephant from Cal State Fullerton, anthropomorphic elephant, but like no wacky cartoon head. Just a straight-faced elephant, legit trunk, regular eyes.
Why
very
is he
strange.
Named Tuffy?
He's tough as hell.
That's stupid.
You're going to fight an elephant?
No,
you're not.
No, but
let alone
just,
one that stands upright.
You got the Golden Eagle of Cal State. You got Willie the Wave from Pepperdine.
Oh, man. He used to be great when he was just a blue schmoo. And I'll tell you, man, that Cal State Northridge Matador.
The Matador.
That cleft chin, that plastic smile, the gaze into nowhere really is something to behold.
10 most interesting-looking athletes. And by most interesting in quotes, you mean hideous.
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much. I think everyone, if you really just kind of put your head to it for 10 seconds, you'd come up with number one. You played for the Clippers for a couple seasons there.
Yeah.
And as I write in the paragraph that deems him number one, pretty much any town that did one of these lists that Sam Cassell played in, he would no doubt be on the top.
He is, unfortunately, an ugly, ugly man.
He was on the Celtics last year, and of course, I was on the road with the Lakers during the finals, and he attacked Vic the Brick because Vic was on NBA TV saying, Lakers are going to sweep. They will win the finals in four.
Wow,
so,
what a surprise.
Vic and I are walking across the court, and Sam Cassell just comes out, and I don't understand a word he's saying. It's just like, yeah, he got really close to me. And I was like, good God.
I can't understand
when you're an inch from his face, he's even more remarkably ugly. But a really nice guy.
What about the Los Angeles Frankenstein? This is the strangest list I've ever seen.
The Los Angeles Frankenstein is if you were to create one player and give him each attribute from a dominating player of years past, you know, whether it's Magic Johnson's vision or, of course, you know, Wayne Gretzky's hands or Ray Guy from the Raiders, the great punter, one of his legs, and Landon Donovan's feet, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Kobe Bryant's heart.
Kobe Bryant's heart, yeah. Sandy Koufax's left arm, you know, that sort of stuff.
Pat Riley's hair, Tiger Woods' blood in his veins.
Right.
Or whatever it is he has
in there.
You
know what I mean, right? Yeah,
ice
exactly.
Water. Mustache, Ron Say.
No question.
No question about
no
that.
No question, the Penguin stash.
This is just a bizarre book, and there's a lot of funny stuff. The 10 best Los Angeles area athlete nicknames.
Yes, was contributed by
Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Irvin Magic Johnson, of course, number one.
Sure.
Number two, Wayne the Great One Gretzky, of course, number two. But number three is Mike Squatting Jesus Piazza.
Which I'd never heard before.
Jimmy made that up.
Oh, he did!
And he says, I made this one up, and dare I say, it is incredible. Squatting Jesus is pretty good.
There's a number of guest submissions. James Worthy, Kobe Bryant gave me a list, Jeannie Buss, Eric
Kobe's?
Dickerson.
Kobe's?
Kobe gave me his 10 favorite places to play.
Okay.
Which is really interesting, because he had just got back from the Olympics, and it's great. It really is great. So in his hometown spot, the Palestra, really great history there that you could learn about, where Kobe played his high school ball in the state championships.
Was that his number one?
That was his number one. No, said it's not even close. And anytime you talk to someone from Philly, I'm sure Ralph will tell you, the Palestra is just the stuff that legends are made of, that what goes down there between some of the college tournaments, the high school tournaments,
sure.
And just, you know, the history of people that have played high school
Plus
basketball.
Plus got the A-hole factor in Philadelphia.
There so is that,
that's
right?
Added right into
sacrifices
the mix.
From the third level. You know, just throw them down, you know, in the hopes that their team will win in the Palestra's history.
You can get the book today. Matt Money Smith is here, and we need to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some Lakers.
Lakers, Mark, yes.
Fantastic.
Game 5 tonight.
39. Tomorrow morning, I believe we have Steve-O. I believe we have Heidi and Spencer.
What?
Really? The newly married Heidi and Spencer?
Yeah, and I think I'm going to need some email questions from the fine K-Rock audience, because I get the feeling that I'm not going to be able to put into words the disgust.
The hate.
That we all have for them.
Yeah.
What?
I don't think I'm good at that. I'll just be so frustrated I won't know what to say. So perhaps email us some questions and we'll try to bring some of them on tomorrow morning's show.
Yeah, dude.
Steve-O, yes. Matt Money Smith is in the studio with
us. Hey.
got a new book?
I do.
I know it's
he
hard to believe.
A book.
He wrote a book.
I got a book. And it's not a pamphlet. It's not a Thomas Paine-style pamphlet. It's got 230 pages.
Yeah, but it's kind of just, it's collated. It's not written.
No.
It's collated.
No, it's a compilation
it's,
of...
It's put together.
Compilation of lists.
Now
yes.
Let's talk about the Lakers, though.
Yes.
In the playoffs.
Game five tonight.
Game four Saturday night was a force of one.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
That Kobe was remarkable. Lamar did everything else, though, just to make sure Lamar gets some attention. 15 rebounds, 6 assists, blocked a couple shots. You know, that's the great thing about Lamar. It's kind of like whatever you need, Lamar can give you. You need rebounding because you got crushed on the glass the game before, Lamar will give it to you. You got to move the ball, Lamar can get you assists. But Kobe was something to behold, and you knew that was going to happen after a 5 of 24 night and a loss in Game 3. You know, and that's essentially what Laker fans got. 38 points, I think it was 11 of 18 shooting, just and talk about shots. Shot making, I mean contested shots, fall away
shots.
They
played great defense on him, and it didn't make any difference.
Behind the backboard, falling out of bounds, you know, 3 feet back of the baseline, over the backboard, swish shots. It really was something to see, and I'd be very surprised that they didn't win tonight's game by 20 points.
Oh, they're just going to blow it up.
Just slam it shut, because, you know, the Rockets now have a 3-1 lead on the Blazers. I think a lot of us felt like that was going to be a 7-game series, no doubt, and very well could get could end, you know, this next game, which means the Lakers could get started as early as maybe Friday.
Is that a mental thing for them, too, to be done kind of earlier than the other team?
Well, you know, I mean, you take out the, you know, you take out a lot of possibilities. Someone could get hurt.
Yeah,
true. You could be extra tired and not have enough rest going into your second round. So, you know, you allow them to come back all of a sudden into Game 5. Now you're in Utah for Game 6, and then you get a Game 7. You know, there's just too many things that can happen. So, yeah, once you have the ability to close, you got to close when you're a good team.
All right, let's say the Lakers close, Houston closes.
Yes. Houston's a tough opponent just because of defense. You know, I mean, Shane Battier, Ron Artest, those two guys.
God, I hate Ron Artest.
I love Ron Artest.
Oh, I hate him.
He's got the biggest and best ass in the history of the NBA as far as, you know.
I guess if that's what you're looking for in a player.
You need an ass to really back up your game and the style of game that you play, and Ron Artest has got it.
But he's just a basketball thug.
But see, he's not. That's the thing. He is skilled. He's can dribble. I mean, he can handle the ball. He can dribble into the paint and finish at the rim. He can shoot three-pointers.
But when he guards Kobe, let me ask you this. He guards Kobe, and he grabs pushes and holds and hits and elbows and...
The great thing about Ron Artest, though, is that he is so strong that if he doesn't do that, you just can't get around him. You can't back him down. Your post game is essentially done because he will hold his position.
Right, but it's not frustrating to you to watch? Because I always yell, if you can't stop Kobe without, you know, assaulting him, then put someone else on
him.
Drives me crazy.
The thing about the Rockets, too, though, is they have two guys that can cover Kobe.
Yeah.
And Battier, you know, they did a piece in the New York Times. Michael Lewis, the guy that wrote Moneyball.
Yes.
He did a piece in the New York Times about why Shane Battier is the best defender for Kobe Bryant. And he, like, pulled out all these statistics. So the Rockets, Rick Adelman can also, the head coach of the Rockets, can also go with Shane Battier. So that's going to be a tough.
Yeah.
It could be a tough series. The Lakers swept him this year, won all three matchups. But you got a 7'6", you know, Chinese guy in the middle that you can just throw the ball to. And he's taller than everybody. And just kind of put it in if he has one of those games. If Yao Ming has one of those games, it could be a tough series.
But he has to have a bunch of those games.
Yes. Yeah, still not enough to beat the Lakers 4 times in 7 tries. Right. Same goes for the conference finals. And it's really a collision course
with
Cleveland, with LeBron James.
That'll be the best.
It's going to be great because Cleveland is playing as good a basketball
out of their
as
minds.
Anyone.
Yep.
Down the stretch, and so far they swept the Pistons yesterday. I'll tell you, man, if I am saddled with the task of defending LeBron James, I'm calling it sick.
I would too.
I'm not doing it. I am not getting in front of a guy who's 260 pounds, streaking down the floor, screaming like a banshee. I am just curled up in the corner with a blanket and a Bible and just hoping it all ends. He scares the living crap out of me.
He is a physical specimen.
Yeah, he really is.
Like the league has ever seen.
We've never seen before. He will win the MVP. They'll likely announce that this week. And
Kobe will come in second.
Kobe. Yeah, I think Kobe will come in second. Dwayne Wade will come in third.
What does Kobe think about him?
Loves him. You know, we tried to insult him a little bit. We talked to Kobe last week, P and I did, and we tried to kind of dig on LeBron a little bit, and he just wasn't having it.
Really?
He's like, no, that's my guy, man. That's my guy.
Is that from the Olympics, or is it go way back?
No, I think it's from the Olympics. Yeah, I think they...
I think what happened with Kobe in the Olympics is every other player that had heard all these things about having Kobe as a teammate and what a nightmare he is,
right,
doesn't
show
that, realize that that's not the case, that
right,
this is just a guy who busts his ass, works harder than anyone else, and demands the same of his teammates. And for that particular task, winning the gold medal, restoring, you know, the good name to USA basketball, they appreciated that and appreciated what he brought. And to a man, they all said, you've never seen a guy work harder in your life, considering how good he is, and he still works that hard. So I think there is that special kinship. But I'll tell you, LeBron was supposed to do an interview with us, and we had it all set up, and our producer was standing there with his cell phone, and he said, all right, so you're talking to Matt and Petros, and he's like, what's this for? And you could hear him in the background.
Right.
He's like, it's a radio interview. Oh, I don't do radio. And he walked away. And he walked away. Oh, yeah, that's all on the air. All right, enjoy us right now. Oh, I don't do radio.
That's awesome.
All right, LeBron, I see how it is.
Now,
yeah.
I know that there are a lot of variables that can happen between now and the finals.
Most definitely.
There are a lot of variables in the finals even. But if both teams play up to their potential.
Lakers.
Who wins? The Lakers.
Yeah, yeah, Lakers. Even though they
because
won't have
they have more than Kobe.
Depth. Yeah, depth. And a lot of that depends, I think, on Andrew Bynum himself. He has not been playing well lately. The young dude that just signed that big old contract, they can't get his knees to stay right. You know, he had been out since January 31st, looked great in his four games back. Everyone got excited. And, you know, physical play of the playoffs, they let you grab and pull and push a little bit more.
It's a lot worse physically.
And I think that's kind of affecting him a little bit. They don't need him for Utah, though, you know, because they don't have any guys that are over 6'8". So.
But can he step up when they do is the question.
I think so. I think you give him the proper rest. You know, don't lean on him until you need him. And I think he'll be all right. Just because he's a big dude who's athletic, has soft hands, can finish at the rim, and at the very least can block a couple shots. You know,
how soft are his hands, Money?
Real soft. Yeah. Right. Especially when they're in a cupping. In a cuddle state.
Yes. All right. Well, so tonight is game five.
Tonight is game five. Yeah. 7:30 tip. It's on TNT, which if you don't watch TNT, it's the best sports-themed studio show you will ever see.
Because of Charles Barkley?
Charles Barkley, Kenny, Ernie. They now have C. Webb on the desk. Chris Webber.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Great as well. Really plays along, and it's enjoyable. It's as good as anything. It's as good as any variety show. It really is.
It is
that's
funny.
What it is. It's not just basketball, you know, analysis. It really is just kind of a fun hour of television.
And it's 7:30?
7:30 tip tonight for the Lakers.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right. The Great Book of Los Angeles Sports List is the name of a book that was sort of put together kind of by Money and another dude.
Yeah, named Steve.
And you can get it
today.
You can get it today anywhere. And Money will be at the Lakers game tonight. We'll give away five copies of the book if we want.
Beautiful.
Although Money was unable to bring in more than one this morning.
Yeah.
So
which was
how
odd.
Are we giving away copies?
I think there's a giant box at my office.
You think?
Okay. I kept all the copies.
Did Gene Simmons just
Steve
come in?
Harmon kept all the copies. They're around my kids' high school.
So, yes, I've got them at my office. I will send them over.
We were told Thursday we'd get a copy.
Yeah,
then we were told Friday we'd get a copy. So I'm telling you up front, if you call K-Rock, 50-50.
Yeah, 50-50 at best.
If we knew the author, maybe we could get some copies.
Right?
Maybe
I don't know Steve personally, so
yeah,
what do you do?
Well,
you know?
I hear you.
I'm listed first. My name's first on the spine,
don't
too.
Don't let that confuse you. I wrote this book. You should go to hell.
Murder button, murder button, murder button.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
I like the weather.
Stupid Al Roker's tough weather.
Old people.
All right, it's time for the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
You're an ass.
Besides going on, that's not new.
Last hour we were talking about bad television editing of our favorite movies.
Yeah.
And I happened to mention that Samuel L. Jackson on AFX, when they played it, they took I Want These Mother Effing Snakes Off My Mother Effing Plane and turned it into I Want These Monkey Fighting Snakes Off My Monday to Friday Plane.
I have that clip now, Ralph.
We have that
yes,
now.
Yes, have the clip now.
Are you sure?
Standing
you have
by.
It?
No, but let's try it.
That's not what I had Omar just send you. That's
nope,
not what
it
I
isn't.
Had.
This is different.
All right.
All right.
Enough is enough. I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
Come on. Monday to Friday plane.
Really? They must have been kidding.
Well, I smell a series in the works because I just got an email from listener Brandon Wilson. God bless you, Brandon. He saw The Big Lebowski.
Oh.
One, a classic.
Hey, man.
On the basic cable. I think it was on the CW they were showing it. Great movie, The Big Lebowski, but filthy.
Yeah,
tons of cursing.
No cursing whatsoever.
Like 300 F-bombs.
Yeah.
And all by John Goodman.
As Walter. Well as others. Yeah, Walter's character, John Goodman. That's the, one of the scenes we're talking about. Remember when Walter takes a crowbar to Harry's...
You see what happens?
Harry's
car? See what happens?
To his Corvette or whatever it was?
To his Corvette, oh, right.
So see what funny. Happens when you F a stranger in the A.
Yeah.
That's the line.
Okay.
Please enjoy what this edit has changed it into.
This is what happens, Larry. You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
What?
See what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
No, no, and no.
That isn't possible.
See what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
No, I'm canceling my damn trip to Switzerland.
Yeah.
No kidding. I don't want to get cracked over the head with a crowbar.
Do not find me in the Alps.
Isn't the Swiss Board of Tourism going to have an issue with that?
Guys, do you think that they're annoyed by having to do it, so they do it as badly as possible?
No, I think they try to find the most innocuous words they can that match
the, yeah.
the mouth
the F or the
mouth
B or
shape of whatever sound is coming out.
That is impossible. That was not on TV, is what I'm telling you.
I'm telling you it was, and we pulled the clip, and thank you, Brandon, for sending that in. I think we're going to have a series. There must be an endless amount of these bad edits floating around out there, and we'd love to hear from you. So write me at ralph@krock.com if you've got your own, and we'll do the best to keep bringing them to you because they're amazing.
This is what happens, Larry. You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
See what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
Crowbar your Corvette.
That's right. It'll teach you to find me in the Alps, freezing.
That's
in
awesome.
A little snow cave. What the hell does that even mean?
I just wanted directions.
Monkey fighting snakes on the Alps.
A Monday to Friday plane. Hate those planes.
Let's talk about today's top 10 movies at the box office. This is what movie did what over the weekend. Obsessed made $28.5 million this
Get
weekend.
Get your white ass out my black husband's house.
That's Money's Beyonce impression right there. Allie Larder looks good in this movie.
She does.
She always she looks does. Good.
Uh-huh. Can you imagine the black women in the audience when Whitey comes in and tries to steal her man?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so. Put a cap in it. That's Beyonce's new song.
Why is there a white woman in my bed?
17 again was number two at the box office. Zac Efron. He's a movie star. He's a movie star.
He was at the Laker game the other night. Sunglasses the whole time.
I saw that.
Flip-flops, aviator glasses the whole time.
Yeah, is Tom Likas?
Never took them off. Really? He's not fat enough to be Likas.
I wear my sunglasses indoors. Hey,
you know, I was talking to someone who works with Likas, used to work with Likas.
Really?
You know what his claim is? Really? Like poundage? He thinks he's over 5.
Over 500 pounds.
No. I believe it.
Are you kidding?
That was his claim that he thinks he's over 5.
He's about my height. He's like 6 feet.
Yeah. So
he is massive if you see him.
350 is huge for 6
foot. He thinks he's 5 bills plus.
Hey.
Look,
unbelievable.
Super Steve was pushing 4 and he's substantially shorter than Tom Likas, so.
Wow.
But I can carry it. I pull it off, though. The ladies don't love me.
Actually, I don't think they do so much.
Yes, I do.
No,
you know why? Because my wallet weighs 500 pounds, too.
Oh! It's actually 600 pounds.
Tom, what's your favorite beverage?
I like wine. Yeah, nice red wine.
What time can I catch you on the air later today?
Nice. You son of a bitch. I need a job. I'm unemployed! Do you care?
Didn't think so. Top 10 movies. The Soloist was, Fighting was number 3 at the box office with Carol Channing and Tatum O'Neill.
Fighting?
Nope.
Fight you.
The Soloist was number 4. Earth was 5. Monsters vs. Aliens was number 6. State of Play. Hannah Montana, the movie. Did you catch that money? I know you got the little girls.
Wife took the kids. But I get to hear Miley Cyrus's song, Hoedown. On repeat.
Hoedown.
No doubt, 200 times now.
Yeah.
Doesn't she have a new country hit, too, besides Hoedown? Isn't the Dream
or the Climb.
The Climb. That's
she also
it.
Has the new song, I think it's debuting this week, with her and her dad, which is off her dad's albums, like Going Back to Nashville or something.
I'm going back to Nashville.
I don't think
Nashville.
That's
Nashville.
I don't think so.
Back to Nashville.
And she's got that other new hit. it filing down my giant llama teeth.
I wish you had that one.
Isn't that the new single?
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Yeah, maybe the flip side of the climb, the file.
I'm sorry that you said she has giant llama teeth.
She does. She has the teeth of a llama.
I don't know what llama teeth look like, but
go I'm guessing take, get a picture big. Of a llama right. and look at their teeth.
All right.
All right, here we go. Psycho Mike's got a llama on his cell phone.
He pulled out a cell phone and said,
all right, I'll show you the picture of the llama.
I think I have a picture of a llama.
Why do you have a picture of a llama on your cell phone?
Because I was at the Orange County Fair, there's a llama, and
and I had a camera, so.
I took a picture.
I might as well.
This is a good use of our time, though, on the radio.
Waiting for the llama picture to come up.
Through my cell phone photos.
No one else can see.
Yeah. I will continue on.
All right, please.
Let's see, no, that's a boar.
No, that's a push me, pull you.
I have a peacock, no llama.
No, Fast and the Furious was number 9 at the box office. And Crank, High Voltage, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this week.
So you didn't even have a picture of a llama on your phone then?
After all that.
After all that.
Correct.
Thanks, Biba. All right. Good times.
Good. No, that's good.
I want Monkey Fighting Mike off my Monday to Friday show.
That's all these words.
That's true. Our show is Monday to Friday. Today's celebrity birthday is Casey Kasem.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
77 years old today. Kate Pearson from the B-52s is 61. Space Ace, Ace Frehley from Kiss is 58. Sheena Easton turns 50. Patrick Stump of Fall Out Boy is 25. And actor William Mosley of the Chronicles of What? Narnia is 22 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman.
Did you ever cry during one of those Casey Kasem long distance dedications
when
you were a kid?
No. I did.
You were kind of emotionally unstable.
The military ones used to get me all the time.
Always, right?
Donna, Billy wants to know he's thinking of you tonight while he's in Vietnam.
Dying.
He knows he can't be with you, and he knows he missed the birth of your only daughter. But he wants you to know he's not just fighting for America's freedom, he's also fighting for your love. Here's Lionel Richie, Endless Love.
Wow.
Money's bawling like a baby.
Oh, it was.
Way to go, sad. Ralph. It was sad, man.
I just want to go to McDonald's and get a Happy Meal.
All right, Money, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Get the book anywhere books are sold.
That's right. The Great Book of Los Angeles Sports List.
We can't get one, but apparently you can get them anywhere they're sold.
That's correct. Sorry. That's what we're being told.
I'm bad.
All right, we'll see you this afternoon. We have Donald Trump on the phone to talk about last night's Celebrity Apprentice.
Yes,
Donald?
You're lucky to have the host of the greatest television program ever on NBC that runs for 2 hours in the time slot behind what used to be Kings.
Right. All right. Tell us about last night's Celebrity Apprentice.
Well, we're down to 6 people in Celebrity Apprentice. I'm almost picking my apprentice now.
Okay.
And it's really getting to be a tough, tough battle. And I had to even off the teams, so I had to move Jesse from Team Athena over to Kotu. That makes Jesse, Clint, and Joan Rivers on a team, and Melissa, Brandy, and Annie on the other team.
Okay.
And Melissa was not too pleased that Jesse left her team, and she was stuck with Brandy, the playmate, and Annie, the poker player.
I wasn't thrilled because I didn't want to be stuck in a room with, you know, the two mean girls from high school. That really pisses me off.
Apparently, Annie and Brandy are getting along, and Melissa is not.
So they're the mean girls.
Right. They're mean because she's an obnoxious whore. Right.
What a surprise.
Now, I gave both teams the task.
I hate people that smell.
That's right.
Well, that's not a task.
Well, the right guard people came to me and asked me to develop a new advertising campaign for their new right guard deodorant.
Okay.
And that's what the task was, to come up with a 4-page layout for a magazine. And I don't think that Jesse James has ever used deodorant, so I had to ask him.
Jesse, do you use deodorant?
Nope.
I had a feeling you might not.
I knew he was stinky. I could just tell he was stinky. So both teams make a plan for their advertising campaign, and it turns out that Clint Black, Joan Rivers, and Jesse won the competition. So Melissa, Brandy, and Annie had to be brought into the boardroom.
Okay.
And my daughter, Ivanka, who is a beautiful, smart woman, had to ask Brandy Roderick, the playmate, who was the project manager, if she thought she screwed up. And I believe that my daughter doesn't think Brandy is very bright. But as you can tell, Brandy proved her wrong.
All of the essential components of the task you delegated away from yourself. And these are the things that most project managers wouldn't forego the opportunity to be a part of.
Well, I don't think that I
forego the opportunity to do that.
No, she did not forego it.
Did she say forego?
Yes, forego, as everyone knows, is the past tense of forego.
That's the best.
So forego, forego, forgone.
All right.
That's how you conjugate it.
So forego.
Now, unfortunately, even though she's very stupid, Brandi Roderick is also insanely hot.
That's true.
So I decided to keep her on the show and to fire ugly Melissa Rivers. And Melissa seemed initially to take it pretty well.
You have done really an amazing job. But Melissa, you're fired.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
She just walked out. I thought, okay, fine.
Why do you have to tell her she has done a really amazing job?
Because she has done an amazing job.
But isn't that just because you're friends with her mom, the shrew?
Her mother is one of the greatest comedians ever in the history of comedy.
Come on.
And Melissa is one of the greatest producers of red carpet shows ever in the history of the TV Guide channel.
She's the only one they've ever had.
That may be true.
Okay.
Now, Joan did not take it nearly as well as Melissa did initially. And she tells the rest of her team that they're screwed now because of the two girls that are left opposite them.
You've now got a Nazi and a follower. And I wish the two of you a lot of luck. I'm not coming tomorrow.
So because Melissa was fired, Joan is quitting the show.
Best case scenario.
Both the Rivers girls are planning to go home. Now, usually when someone gets fired, they get in the elevator and they leave.
Right.
But not Melissa. She came running to find her mother to complain about what the two girls just did to her.
Oh, dear God.
They both
out of you too.
Like two little pit vipers.
No kidding. No
whore pit vipers.
Yes, they are whore pit vipers.
Oh, my God.
Sweet.
By the way, whore pit vipers opening up Weenie Road.
That's true. We haven't announced that yet, but that is true.
Now, Joan attacks Annie and Brandi as she's leaving the building because of what they did to her little girl.
Yeah.
You are a piece of and you're a stupid blonde. That simple.
There you go.
Wow.
Why is she so hateable?
Because they are a piece of S and a stupid blonde.
Right.
Then she gets into it with Brandi, the playmate. About how the fact she treated her daughter so horribly.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Good.
How about
does
that?
Does this mean that much to you?
Yes, it does, because I want to give $250,000 to my charity.
It's not all
yes, it is.
Suddenly it's about money.
What?
It's not all about the money. It's about being a good business person inside where it counts.
But what the hell is she talking about?
No one knows.
Wow.
Man.
Then Joan turned her sights on Annie Duke, the poker champion. Who, admittedly, is a bitch. But I don't think even Annie Duke deserved this.
Okay.
You're a poker player. A poker player. That's awesome. Beyond white trash.
Poker players are the most awesome people in the world.
Poker players are trash, darling. Trash.
Annie's right. Poker players are the most awesome people in the world.
It's hard to pick a side in that argument.
Poker players are the most awesome people in the world. Forget teachers, firefighters.
That's true.
Nuns.
That is
surgeons.
True.
Poker players are the most awesome people in the world.
Yeah.
Well, as you can imagine, Joan and Melissa have some bad feelings. And they decided to leave the show together. And Melissa, well, she had a message for all of us.
I want my now. I want my purse. I want everything. And David, you're not getting an interview. Lying. I'm not coming back. Yeah, I've been really ineffective. Everyone.
Yes. Everyone.
Wow. We knew that they were being bratty and babies leading up to this. But this is a step further than Joan and Melissa usually go.
No, I think it's very mature of them just to pout and scream and quit because someone left the show.
Wow.
They're the worst pores. I mean, there are people who have been thrown off the regular Apprentices who lost jobs because they got kicked off that were better sports than these two.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But how dare I fire Melissa Rivers?
Yeah, that's
true. It really
true.
Is my fault.
It is your fault.
And I apologize for being a whore pit viper.
We have a huge show for you tomorrow morning. We have Steve-O in the studio.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman on the program.
Hey.
Simon Baker on the program. Heidi and Spencer on the program.
Wow. Hey.
All tomorrow morning. So.
They all sound like that.
They do. That's true.
Simon Baker and Hugh Jackman.
That's correct.
It's our salute to Australia.
Yes, it is.
They're both...
Heidi and Spencer?
Both freaking Aussies.
Australia.
Yes.
Time for the Rouse Showbiz Beat.
As we do every Monday, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Obsessed! Number one at the box office, $28.5 million.
Do you know what they were expecting? Because that seems huge.
It does. I am sometimes dumbfounded.
Sometimes they publicize what they expect the movie to do.
By the success of basically a Fatal Instinct knockoff. The only thing I can imagine, I've read this in a couple papers, is that black audiences love to see black leads in black movies.
Sure.
And so you've got Beyonce in
Plus Beyonce's
this,
super hot.
And you've got the dude from The Office who plays the new boss.
Yeah.
Until recently. The black guy from The Office. He's the lead in that. He's a good-looking black guy. And you got a white woman trying to steal a black woman's man. That's all they need. Get fired up. Yeehaw. $28.5 million. Number one at the box office this weekend. 17 again. Number two at the box office with $11.7 million. Fighting was number three. With Carol Channing and Tatum O'Neill.
Nope.
Starring in that film, $11.4 million.
Channing Tatum only.
The Soloist was number four. Earth was five. Monsters vs. Aliens was number six. State of Play was number seven. Hannah Montana, the movie, number eight. Fast and Furious was number nine. Crank, High Voltage, number 10 at the box office this weekend. I am not a big fan of Perez Hilton. But occasionally he nabs a piece of video or a photograph that's just worth checking out, and that is the case today.
Oh.
Over at his website, how do I say this delicately? When Britney Spears was in town down there in Anaheim at the Honda Center, I think it was the 19th, 20th, same weekend as Coachella, I think she was performing down there. She was performing on stage, and there is video footage of her performing on stage.
Yes.
That you don't want to see.
And apparently she was indisposed.
I don't know what that means.
She might have been having cramps.
She may have been crampy due to a monthly situation that occurs for most healthy young women.
And how is it that we can tell that?
Wow.
Because you can see from her slight costume a dangling string.
Oh.
In a region where you don't want to see strings dangling, unless it would be like a thread coming off her costume or something, but this is not. This is a string that is dangling from part of her anatomy.
Oh, no.
From her right?
You could say that.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And
God.
It's out there for all to
see. It's not hard to see.
No, it isn't.
But it's hard to watch.
Why does she insist?
I don't know. She's just... Britney she does not pay attention to detail.
No.
Britney does not adhere to the tuck rule, as they would say in the NFL. So, there you got that going for you. You can check that out this week.
Or don't.
And congratulations to Heidi and Spencer. I guess we can tell them ourselves tomorrow, huh?
Sure.
200 members of their closest friends, family, and film crew were there Saturday to wish the happy couple well. The Westminster Presbyterian Church in Pasadena, California. Mike, you live in Pasadena, don't you?
Yes.
Didn't you have the urge to drive by and see what all the melee was about, all the hubbub?
I did, but it was pretty closed off. There's a lot of hubbub, as you said. The only thing I caught was the skywriting.
Yes.
It's like Heidi and Spencer forever, but at the end it was weird because there was like a sales tag on it. It said text 5855 to
what?
Stars or something. Yeah, it was something really strange.
They skywrote that?
Uh-huh.
All of that?
All of it.
That's like a lengthy message for skywriting.
It's a long skywriting message.
Fine print, little tiny clouds.
Wow.
95 cents per text. now, the big surprise was Lauren Conrad had said, as recently as the David Letterman show, she was not going to show up to the event. But, what do you know? LC did make an appearance.
Oh, that is crazy!
I think it's going to be a tear-jerking moment when we see it on MTV, because, of course, camera crews are on hand to capture every precious moment. So, very exciting.
Wow.
I'm excited. Are you excited?
And by very exciting, you mean?
Who gives a rat's ass?
Yes.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Casey Kasem, longtime radio announcer and big animation voiceover guy, 77 years old today. Kate Pearson of the B-52s celebrates her 61st birthday. Ace Frehley, space ace from Kiss, is 58. Sheena Easton is 50 years old. Patrick Stump, singer-guitarist of Fallout Boy, is 25. And actor William Mosley from the chronic What? Goals of Narnia is 22 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.